The Joy of Christmas. The following message was originally preached by Brother Amos on Sunday, the 25th of December 2011, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. It has subsequently been rewritten in September 2020 to bring in recent statistics that reflect upon current events and to take in the modern trends and practices concerning the celebration of Christmas. It has been written as a template for all of God's children who want to recognize and celebrate God's greatest gift to mankind. Merry Christmas and tidings of great joy to one and all. Good morning to each and every one. This morning, I was going to take a teaching message in order to shed light on a particular verse of prophetic scripture. It is a scripture which is being contested, an issue which has never been taken as a message on its own, all in the light of truth. I honestly feel that we live in an hour when God is crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the revelation of His elect people, as He wraps up the unveiling of His inspired written word to give the bride a perfect understanding, a complete and entire picture of His great plan of redemption. So issues are resolved, leaving us in no doubt as to where the truth lays, dispelling every cloud, so that we can see truth in plain view. I will, however, reserve that message for next Sunday, which is the new year, by the grace of God. But seeing that today is Christmas Day, I feel moved to talk about Christmas. Please turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2, and for our reading, we will take verses 4 to 14, which records, "And Joseph also went off from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This morning, from this passage of Scripture, we want to talk about the joy of Christmas. That is the title of my message, The Joy of Christmas. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning, for it is a beautiful Sunday morning. It is not only the day of the week in which we honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but today being the 25th of December, is a day that has been set aside to celebrate His birth, the birth of that wonderful gift you gave to us. We thank you this morning, for we rejoice in this great gift, for by Him are we saved, and by Him we stand before you this morning justified, from all sin that we cannot have been justified for, under the law. And Father, we thank you for this Paschal Lamb, this great sacrifice. We just bless your name this morning. And Lord, it is my humble prayer that you will help me as I take this message to this morning. Just give me inspiration and wisdom to say things in a way that will be a blessing to your people, to dispel every cloud, and to settle this matter. Grant it, Lord, for I ask it with thanksgiving to your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. A Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. May the blessings of God and the joy of the season rest mightily upon each and every one. I want to welcome our visiting brothers and sisters. It is good to have you, and may the Lord bless you all. We are a simple people, a truth-loving people, and that is all there is to us. Before we launch into our message this morning, let me first say this. If you look at the little booklet of Christmas carols that you were given this morning, you will see that on the front cover, there is a Christmas tree with gifts displayed on it. That was not designed by us, and neither was it done by us. We gave our print to the list of Christmas carols that we wanted to sing, and asked him to print them for us, simply with Bible Faith Tabernacle written on them, but he chose to design the cover himself. We did not expect him to do that, and we want you to please realize that that did not come from us. That came from our secular printer, who is not a follower of the end time message. We are not going to crucify him for doing that, for he had a noble intention. Are you with me? We just wanted a plain cover for our Christmas carols, but he gave us his own design. So when visitors look at it, they may think we believe in Christmas trees and Santa Claus, when we most certainly do not. If I had designed it, it would have had Jesus in a manger, with Mary and Joseph, along with the three wise men and the guiding star. Secondly, if you look at the base of the front cover of the booklet, you will observe that it says Xmas Carols. There is nothing called Xmas Carols. That is a load of rubbish. And I hope you as a believer are not saying Xmas. What is X? X is a variable. And hence, it stands for anything and everything, and hence, for nothing. X does not represent Jesus Christ in any way. Am I talking to you this morning? A lot of people say, Happy Xmas. Who is the X? X is not a name. X is a variable, which stands for anything and everything. They can use the term out there, but as the elect people of God, we should have understanding. There is nothing called Happy Xmas. Is your mouth paining you, or is it too heavy that you cannot pronounce Christmas? Is it too long a word for you to pronounce, or do you have a body weakness? It is a different thing if you are taking notes in a message, and you are writing shorthand in your own style. That is understandable. But if you want to greet a brother or a sister, why would you say, Merry Xmas? Who is the X? And I also hope you are not going to text or email me, Happy Xmas, because I will not reply you if you do, for Jesus is not X, and Christmas is also not X. A commercial printer, who has no understanding of these things, is the one who wrote Xmas Carols on our booklet, and we will not condemn him for it, because he meant well. Church, I have had to touch on these little things, because people just love to copy what they see without having an understanding of anything. And I do not want brethren copying that. As I must continue to reiterate, we should be people with understanding. If the greeting is about Christmas, then let us say, Merry Christmas. If it is about Easter, then let us say, Happy Easter. We live in a religious world where Christmas means so many things to so many different people. And because there is so much controversy about it, and with all the emails I receive on it, I feel it is necessary to deal with it, for the sake of the edification of the universal bride of Christ, for we must know just how to look at something. Consequently, we want to handle Christmas as a complete subject this morning. The Branham movement do not touch or celebrate it, and the world have seriously abused it, for they have turned Christmas to a period of time when they continually buy, shop to the drop, particularly in the Western countries like the United States of America, as well as in Europe. At Christmas, they have to buy the world just to celebrate the period. And that is not the essence of Christmas. And you know what? You can go to a supermarket or a department store on Christmas Eve, and you will find that the shelves are totally empty, for everything has been bought out, all because of one day. Now ask me, what has all that got to do with Jesus Christ? What has it got to do with redemption? Absolutely nothing. And because of this spirit of all out buying, this shopping till they drop, Christmas has become highly commercialized, a time when all companies who produce all sorts cash in on it. Around the world, it is a multi-trillion dollar thing, because everybody cashes in on Christmas, selling the moon. And on the website of markneeded.com, Christmas spending statistics, trends, and fun facts, Awesome UK has this to say about Christmas. And please note that all emphasis is mine. Christmas shopping is one of the biggest holidays we shop with, spending over $1 trillion in the United States, and shoppers in the UK spending over £2 billion. From decoration to presents, to parties, to cards, many shoppers will save all year for the spending they use on the Christmas holiday. The Christmas holiday is by far the biggest shopping holiday in the United States, United Kingdom, and many other countries around the world. think about this colossal amount and to think that this is what just a nation spent at Christmas. That is simply madness. And when Christmas is over, the people are totally financially dry and they face the new year in debt, all because of Christmas. Likewise, the World Economic Forum, speaking about Christmas on the 20th of December, the 2019, had this to say. This year, Americans will spend on average $942 on Christmas gifts minus $57 more than last year. In some countries, one-fifth of people go into debt to pay for Christmas gifts and festivities. Although eco-awareness is on the rise, half of people would buy the ideal gift no matter the cost to the planet. It's the time of year again. Time to eat, drink, make merry, and shop. Shop. Shop for gifts. It is simply ridiculous. In Africa, yesteryears, those good old years, not today when hunger is everywhere on the continent and there is no money, but years ago, people went from house to house on Christmas Day, eating and drinking, until they could not get up. And this same pattern still holds around the world as we speak. Christmas is a party time for many, as they will party all over creation and get drunk like a skunk. Now tell me, what has all that got to do with the birth of Jesus Christ? What has that got to do with the Messiah? Nothing. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Messiah. But what does the world do? At Christmas time, they buy not only to consume and live a righteous life, but they also send cards and gifts all over the globe, even to the dead. I am saying that just to make a point, and I hope you understand. Because when something borders on absurdity, when it becomes ridiculous, then I have to say that they are buying and sending gifts to dead people, all because they are sending gifts to the whole world. Are you with me? So, today, when you look at how Christmas is being celebrated, the gross abuse of it, the shine has been taken out of Christmas to right-thinking believers, and that is a fact. Hence, the reason a lot of Christians do not want to touch it, because it has been so commercialized and grossly abused. But I have to say this morning, my brethren, regardless of the abuse, and regardless of the commercialization of Christmas, and irrespective of any misgivings people may have about Christmas, you should still be able to see the truth of something, and you should be able to see the essence of something, because you do not also have to abuse and commercialize it. We are not to go into extremes with the truth, for there is a scriptural balance to everything. Brothers and sisters, it is an incontrovertible fact that you can utilize Christmas in a wise way, as a wise person, a true believer, one who is revelated. And this is the truth we want to establish in this message, the Lord being our helper. Brothers and sisters, Christmas was derived from Christ's Mass, Mass on Christ's Day, and it is a Christian holiday celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. However, the major point many Christians make against Christmas, and it is a serious point at that, is the fact that Christmas has a pagan origin and that it was established contrary to the truth by the great whore of Revelation 17, the Church of Rome, as a time they set aside their Christendom to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Savior of the world. In an online article titled "The True Origin of Christmas," a man called David C. Pack had this to say, and please note that all emphasis is mine. Nearly all aspects of Christmas observance have their roots in Roman custom and religion. Consider the following admission from a large American newspaper, the Buffalo News, November 22, 1984. The earliest reference to Christmas being marked on December the 25th comes from the 2nd century after Jesus' birth. It is considered likely the first Christmas celebrations were in reaction to the Roman Saturnalia, a harvest festival that marked the winter solstice, the return of the sun, and honored Saturn, the god of sowing, the god of agriculture. Saturnalia was a rowdy time, much opposed by the more austere leaders among the still minority Christian sect. Christmas developed, one scholar says, as a means of replacing worship of the sun with worship of the Son of God. By 529 AD, after Christianity had become the official state religion of the Roman Empire, Emperor Justinian made Christmas a civic holiday. The celebration of Christmas reached its peak, some will say its worst moments, in the medieval period when it became a time for conspicuous consumption and unequaled revelry. Further, CBSNews.com also has this to say about the origins of Christmas, and also note that all emphasis is mine. Though December the 25th is the day Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the date itself and several of the customs we've come to associate with Christmas actually evolved from pagan tradition celebrating the winter solstice. Christmas is really about bringing out your inner pagan, historian Kenneth C. Davis told CBS This Morning. The statement that Christmas is really about bringing out your inner pagan is precisely how the man, Kenneth Davis, views the celebration of Christmas, although I will be quick to point out that that is a carnal and extreme view, as we shall later prove by the Holy Scriptures. The article continued, stating, according to Davis, Christmas was celebrated as early as the 4th century, suggesting that it had almost nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In ancient Rome there was a feast called Saturnalia that celebrated the solstice. What is the solstice? It's the day that the sun starts coming back. The days start getting longer. And most of the traditions that we have that relate to Christmas relate to the solstice, which was celebrated in ancient Rome on December the 25th. So when Christianity became the official religion in a sense in Rome, they were able to fix this date. There's a little discrepancy about it, but there is no question that the fact that it was celebrated in Rome as an important day with gift-giving, candle-lighting, and singing and decorating houses really cemented Christmas as December the 25th. Another custom we can thank the pagans for, Christmas trees. Davis explained that the evergreen trees signal the return of life and light, as a winter solstice meant the days were starting to get longer. They started to hang an apple on it, so little red balls on green trees, get the picture here. So all of these things celebrate the idea that life and light are coming back into the world, which is essentially what Christmas means to Christians around the world. Mistletoe, though, that was started by the Druids, who believed it was an all-powerful healing item from the sacred oak tree. If you met someone in the forest, you gave them the sign of peace under the mistletoe. So people started to hang mistletoe above their doorways as a symbol of peace. This was such a powerful symbol of paganism that English churches actually banned the use of it, Davis said. Davis also pointed out that the very first instance of a war on Christmas actually dates back to the Puritans in the mid-17th century. They knew all of these things, the date, the traditions, were pagan ideas. The Puritans banned Christmas for 20 years in America before the celebration became just too popular. Brothers and sisters, as we stated earlier, a lot of Christians around the world, particularly end-time message believers, have the same attitude and stand towards Christmas, for they just do not celebrate it, and this attitude is all based on the facts that we have just laid out, which is its pagan origin, and the revelry that goes on during this period. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, in presenting this message, we must still ask ourselves this very pattern and question, is celebrating Christmas bad? Is it wrong? Does celebrating Christmas make a one pagan? Does it constitute a compromise of the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord? These are the fundamental questions we want to consider in this message, the Lord being our helper, particularly as this issue borders on the birth and the celebration of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. As Bible believers, a highly revelated class of elect seeds of God, we must know just how to look at things. For there is a right way to look at things, and there is a wrong way to look at the same things. Church, beginning with the truth of when our Lord Jesus was born, we all know, or should know, for it is an undeniable fact, that Jesus Christ was not born in December, for he was most certainly not born in the winter period or season, in the first instance, for shepherds to be out in the fields watching their flock by night, it could not be in the winter, when snow would be everywhere, and it would be extremely cold. It had to be somewhere at the beginning of the fall, autumn, which brings us to somewhere around late September to mid-October, when the shepherds could and will still be in the fields at night. The Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 18 records, And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now listen to this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Since, we must realize, that this event could not have taken place in December. Secondly, for Jesus to have died at the age of 33 half years, having started his ministry exactly at 30 years of age. And we all know that he died during the Jewish Passover period, which is between late March and mid-April, when the Paschal lamb was killed. Then he could not have been born in December, because all we need to do to calculate his birth is to count 6 months back from late March to mid-April when he died, which is 6 months away from his birthday. And that brings us to around late September to mid-October. You cannot take his birthday beyond this period. How many understand what I am saying? Because if he died at 33 half years, it simply means that he was 6 months away from his next birthday. And hence, all we need to do is simply count 6 months forward from late March to mid-April, or even count 6 months back from late March to mid-April, and it still brings us to around late September to mid-October, whichever way we go. Consequently, he could not have been born in December, and neither was he born between late March and mid-April, when we have the Passover, because that was precisely when he was crucified. And speaking specifically about the baptism of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist, St. Luke chapter 3, beginning from verse 21, plainly declares, Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass, that Jesus also being baptized, to start off his messianic ministry, and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. God now tabernacled in his Son, incarnating him, empowering him for the work of the ministry of redemption. Verse 23 now clearly records, And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. This undoubtedly proves that he started his earthly ministry at the precise age of 30 years, which still brings us to the fall, autumn, coming to late September to the middle of October, and definitely not December, which is in the winter. Moreover, as we said before, we all know scripturally speaking that Jesus Christ was crucified between late March to mid-April, in the Easter period, which was 6 months away from his birthday, therefore, making him only 33 half years of age, at the time of his crucifixion. This is a scriptural fact, even though we do not know the exact day of his birth, and we do not need to know the precise day on which he was born, in order to have the revelation of Christ. What God wants us to know, is precisely what has been written, and as such, we do not need to know more by speculating, seeking to have extra knowledge, getting ourselves in a spiritual rut, as an error of the devil. Brothers and sisters, as I have said, if God wanted us to know the particular day on which he was born, the Lord would have inspired it to be written, just like the age of Jesus Christ was written at the commencement of his ministry, for it was exactly at the age of 30 years. And because Jesus Christ was crucified during the Passover season, we know undoubtedly, therefore, that he was definitely not born in the Passover season. He was most certainly not born between late March and mid-April, when the Jews observed the Passover. And speaking particularly about the Passover, in Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 to 4, Moses records, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day, in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib, which is between late March and mid-April, the Passover month. This is because the computation of the Jewish month of Abib, which is April, also referred to as Nisan, falls between late March and mid-April, in the Gentile calendar. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, the month Abib is firmly nailed down to the Passover, where in verses 1 to 2, Moses added, Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and the herd, typing Jesus Christ, the Paschal Lamb of God, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Since the final Passover Jesus Christ attended was recorded in John 11 verses 55 to 57, to John 12 verses 1 to 7, which provides, And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover, to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment, that, if any man knew where he were, he should shew it, that they might take him. Then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, preparing Jesus for his burial, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then seeth one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. It was during this Passover that Jesus was eventually taken, wickedly judged, and crucified at Calvary. Brothers and sisters, it means, in essence, that the entire duration of Christ's earthly ministry was exactly only 3.5 years, because he was crucified 6 months after his 33rd birthday. Church, we have to see, therefore, that the birth of the Messiah was never in December, let alone be so late in December, as to be the 25th day of December. Come on! Jesus Christ was never born in December, and he could never have been born in December. That is the absolute and unquestionable truth, and we know that, because we are of the truth. December the 25th was the day the Romans worshipped the sun god, a day that was later adopted and made as a day for the celebration of the birth of the Son of God. Moving on to speak about the legendary Santa Claus, popularly known as Father Christmas, Britannica.com has this to say, and please note that all emphasis is mine. Santa Claus, legendary figure who is the traditional patron of Christmas in the United States and other countries, particularly European countries, bringing gifts to children. His popular image is based on traditions associated with St. Nicholas, a 4th century Christian saint, a monk of the Roman Catholic Church. St. Nicholas was born in Patara, near Myra, in modern-day Turkey, around 280 AD, and he went about helping the sick and the poor, particularly children, giving them gifts. He was later canonized, sainted, by the Catholic Church, And December the 6th is a day he is venerated, worshipped, by the Church of Rome as the patron saint of children. Brothers and sisters, St. Nicholas was made a legend for his carnal piety and kindness and is popularly called Santa Claus or Kris Kringle, and he is portrayed as riding through the sky on a sleigh drawn by reindeers, from the North Pole to the entire globe, with a big bag full of gifts on his shoulder for children worldwide, which is nothing but a myth, a total fabrication of men. It was in 1965 when Santa Claus Village in Lapland, Finland, was opened, and it has become the official home of Santa Claus, although many believe that he lives in the North Pole. It attracts thousands of visitors every year, all year round, but it is at Christmas time when many flock there. 1985 was when the official post office for Santa opened its doors, and he has received a colossal 50 million letters from 198 different countries, which is an absolute load of nonsense, strictly designed for monetary gain, as money is the god of this evil world. It was in 1958 when the governments of both Canada and the United States set up a binational air defense command for North America, called NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, and those at NORAD took on the tradition of tracking Santa. If anyone wants to know the whereabouts of Santa Claus, they can visit the NORAD Track Santa website and can even track him using the internet. It is from NORAD tracking that television channels like Fox News and others used to give their viewers the location of Santa Claus during the Christmas period. They are using visuals and the medium of official news to project a lie, a myth, something that does not exist. How ridiculous these unbelievers can be. That was why William Branham, in his message dated the 25th of December, 1949, entitled The Deity of Jesus Christ, paragraphs 92 to 94, declared, "Men and women, if the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you, the Christ that was born 1900 years ago came to manhood. He never stayed in the cradle. And today, that memorial of his birthday, what do? They get some tree, cut it down, make a Christmas tree for the kiddies, the children. But they think, that's all right, I'm not kicking against that. But the thing of it is, they put more on the Christmas tree than they do for Christ. Listen to this, Kris Kringlers all over the country. Who was he? A German, a Catholic 10 years ago. An old man went about doing good. And today it's become almost a worship. That's right. It's all right to tell the kiddies, or whatever you want to do, as far as I'm concerned. But the thing of it is, it's so easy to fall in that rot on the other side, and push out Christ, the real fundamentals of Christ, of Christmas. And man take Kris Kringle instead of real Christmas. That's right. No room for him in the inn. I have laid out all that just to make a clear statement of fact, that we are not fooled, but we know the Genesis and all there is about Christmas, because we are not following hand-me-down traditions of men. We are following Jesus Christ in a true divine revelation of the Holy Scriptures, a continuing revelation. God's revelation being inherently progressive, never static, never stationary, but ever progressive. Since that Jesus Christ was not born in December, is a fact that has been solidly established and is scripturally unquestionable. Consequently, we now have to ask ourselves a very pertinent question this morning, at this very juncture of time, and it is precisely this: since Jesus was not born in December, and December the 25th has been set aside by the Roman Catholic Church as a time to represent his birth, a time to celebrate his birth, to remember his birth, do we reject it? Do we not celebrate it? Do we stand against this celebration? That is the material question, the fundamental question. Let us put it in another way, knowing the genesis of Christmas, that it has pagan origins in this sense, and only in this strict sense, that it is celebrated on the day the Romans worshipped the sun god, which was turned into the day for the worship of the Son of God. Is it therefore wrong to observe or celebrate it? That is the crucial issue. Brothers and sisters, as we said earlier, there is a right way to look at something, and there is a wrong way to look at the same thing, and as children of light, a people bearing a divine understanding of the word of life, we want to look at things in the right way, Now consider this, and may God give you understanding, for a lot of things on the earth today have pagan origins. Church, whether we like it or not, Christmas is now an established Christian holiday around the globe, known and accepted all over the world, a time when the whole world remembers the birth of Jesus Christ. That is a fact, and one that will not change. So, the material issue is this: since Christmas is a period that the religious world have set aside to mark or celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and it is now a public holiday worldwide, what stops us from taking advantage of that holiday to truly and sincerely appreciate the birth of the Messiah, knowing of a truth that although he was not born in December, but that he was born, nonetheless, are we scripturally precluded from celebrating his birth on December the 25th in a true Christian way? That is the issue, the real issue. Church, the truth of the matter is that the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Son of God, was born, though not in December, but he was born, and as such, there is nothing wrong or unscriptural in celebrating his birth. I know the Branham movement asks, just as the religious world, who stand against the celebration of Christmas, equally ask, where is the scripture that requires us, or that says that we should celebrate his birth, because we are only instructed to remember his death till he comes? That is a very carnal and nonsensical question. I do not say that to be rude this morning. I say that to make a serious point, in order to jolt somebody. Do you really need a scripture in order to celebrate his birth? I will give you scriptures this morning by the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, the movement need a scripture before they can celebrate the birth of the promised Messiah, the Son of God. That is sad. That is even a shame. Regardless of the abuse of Christmas, regardless of the fact that Jesus was not born in December, and regardless of the fact that Christmas has a pagan origin, brothers and sisters, the undeniable fact remains that Jesus Christ is still our Savior, and it is a fact that he was born. It is a reality that no one can change, and we rejoice in this fact, and we will celebrate this fact, the fact that God gave us his Son. We cannot use the pagan origin of Christmas to deny the celebration of the true birth of Christ, the Son of God, for where would we be without him? Thank God for Jesus the Christ. Thank God that he gave us his Son, for as I said, where would we be without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It is for this very reason that in a sermon dated December the 14th, 1963, and titled, "While Little Bethlehem," paragraphs 14 to 18, William Branham stated, "You know, at Christmas, I think we all, too many of us, I wouldn't say all, but too many of us lose the real value of what Christmas is. As I notice out here, even the palm trees are decorated. And in the East it's always the fir tree, or the evergreen. And months, or weeks, rather, maybe a month or 6 weeks before Christmas ever begins, it's always the tinsel, glittery decorative materials, and the great. They made it a commercial instead of what it really means. I don't believe that Christ was born on the 25th day of December. I do not believe that at all. It would be impossible for the things to happen. The hills of Judea are snowier than, why, snow is waist deep in the month of December, up in Judea. But we realize in studying history, Christ was probably born in the spring, along maybe April or May, somewhere like that. We have earlier proven by the Holy Scriptures that Christ was born around late September to mid-October, and not around late March to mid-April, which is in the spring, and which gives us the Passover season, when Jesus was crucified. We will take the last sentence of Brother Branham again, and he said, "But we realize in studying history, Christ was probably born in the spring, along maybe April or May, somewhere like that. But when it was changed, too, this, they brought it. When Christianity was converted into Romanism, they made the sun God's birthday, which was at the solar at the 25th, from the 21st to the 25th of December, the sun setting right, almost hardly changes at all. And then that was the sun God's birthday, so they changed it to the Son of God. Now listen, and learn, but remember, whatever what day it might be, we still doesn't take away the sacredness of what it's supposed to be." That is exactly right. Because we should still remember that Jesus Christ was born, For he was given to us, that through him we may have eternal life, eternal redemption, and that is worth more than celebrating. Indeed, we cannot take away the sacredness of it. Hence, Brother Branham added concerning Christmas, where Satan has robbed us of this, has made a great commercial out of Christmas, and Santa Claus stole all of the worship, and it's become a day like Easter, like bunny rabbits and pink dogs. And then, what's there got to do with Easter? What's there got to do with the resurrection of Christ? It's just like the world today, where the kids on the street can tell you more about Davy Crockett than the kid about Jesus Christ. They can tell you more about some outlaw, some criminal of days gone by, just as our children today can tell you more about Marvel and Power Rangers, mere fictional characters, than they can the Prince of Life that was born 1900 years ago. But that doesn't take the real thing away from we Christians. Absolutely not. And why not? You see, always light shines is best in the darkness. Therefore, we should let the true light of Christmas shine in the face of tradition. The fog lightning in the black cloudy skies at night shows there can be light in darkness. And when the light is shining, if the sun is shining, you don't need the light too much. But darker, the smaller the light, greater it will shine in the darkness. Darker, the better, shows itself better. Now listen to this and wake up, and that's more the less that. We Christians ought to be testifying to the glory of God for giving His Son to us. This Christmas ought to be an outstanding thing. We Christians ought to make Christ shine brighter during the Christmas season. No matter how much it looks, it'll make it shine that much better. The whole world's got tinsel, a glittery decorative material, the phony, fake. We've got Christ, and that's what we ought to be letting shine in this dark hour that we're now living in. Absolutely. Think about it, for it is indeed a place, as elect bride of Christ, to let the true light of Jesus Christ shine forth in this extremely dark religious jungle. That is what this quote tells us. For the prophet to this age most certainly believed in celebrating Christmas in a way that glorifies the Lord, letting the true light of Christ shine forth, and I say amen to it. May I even add, brothers and sisters, and please think seriously about this overriding fact. Without following Jesus Christ in His true divine scriptural revelation, which is a continuing revelation, God's revelation being strictly progressive, you are going nowhere, regardless of your firm stand for or against the celebration of Christmas. Now watch you on that. I repeat, regardless of your firm stand for or against the celebration or the observance of Christmas, if you do not follow Jesus Christ in His present and continuing light of the Holy Scriptures, you are going nowhere, for you will be here in the last week of Daniel to face the Antichrist. Period. For us true Bible believers, we must see where our priority lays, where our true focus should be. We most certainly do not want to be like the scribes and Pharisees whom Jesus lambasted for their hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 23, beginning from verse 23, declaring to their faces, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Now listen to verse 24. "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, a small biting fly, and swallow a camel." In its application to Christmas, brothers and sisters, this rebuke of Christ simply means this: you make so much negative noise about Christmas, like you are so spiritual, but you trample blatantly upon the Holy Scriptures, and willfully reject Jesus Christ in His present and continuing Bible revelation, which is the present truth. 2 Peter 1:12. So, tell me, of what good is your non-celebration of Christmas? Of what spiritual virtue is it? Come on! With regards to the observance of Christmas, you are exactly like the scribes and Pharisees, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Yes, for that is exactly your pathetic state. Otherwise, you will see something. I know that some, no doubt, we'll still argue, but Brother Amos, you are forgetting that Christmas has a pagan origin. That was precisely why I stated earlier that us children of light, a people bearing a divine understanding. We should know how to look at things, because a lot of things on the earth today have pagan origins. So, what are you going to do? Leave the world. For instance, the names of the days of the week that we all use, Sunday to Saturday, is intrinsically pagan, meaning that it is pagan by its very nature, pagan by its very wording. Sunday, for instance, was the day for the worship of the sun god, Sunday. LoveScience.com has this to say, and please note that all emphasis is mine. The Romans named the days of the week after their gods and corresponded to the five known planets plus the sun and moon, which the Romans also considered planets. To this day, all Romance languages, most familiarly Spanish, French, and Italian, still bear the mark of Roman day names, the exception being Sunday, which now translates to Lord's Day, and Saturday, which translates to Sabbath. The English words for each day bear remnants of Roman tradition, but they have been filtered through centuries of Germanic and Norse mythos. The Germanic people adapted the Roman system by identifying Roman gods with their own deities. Sunday comes from Old English, sun and dag, which is derived from a Germanic interpretation of the Latin, dies solis, sun's day. Germanic and Norse mythology personify the sun as a goddess named Suna or Sol. Monday likewise comes from Old English, monandig, named after Mani, the Norse personification of the moon, and Sol's brother. Tuesday comes from Old English, tuesdig, after Tewu, or Tyre, a one-handed Norse god of dueling. He is equated with Mars, the Roman war god. Wednesday is Woden's day. Woden, or Odin, was the ruler of the Norse gods' realm and associated with wisdom, magic, victory and death. The Romans connected Woden to Mercury because they were both guides of souls after death. Wednesday comes from Old English, Wodness Dig. Thursday, gets its English name after the hammer-wielding Norse god of thunder, strength and protection. The Roman god Jupiter, as well as being the king of gods, was the god of the sky and thunder. Thursday comes from Old English, Ponus Dig. Friday is named after the wife of Odin. Some scholars say her name was Frigg, others say it was Freya. Other scholars say Frigg and Freya were two separate goddesses. Whatever her name, she was often associated with Venus, the Roman goddess of love, beauty and fertility. Friday comes from Old English, Frigidig. As for Saturday, Germanic and Norse traditions didn't assign any of their gods to this day of the week. They retained the Roman name instead. The English word Saturday comes from the Anglo-Saxon word Saturn's Day Egg, which translates to Saturn's Day, the day for the worship of Saturn. So, I ask you, are we worshipping these deities, these false gods, simply by continuing to use their names as the days of the week? Are we bringing out our inner pagan by using the pagan names of the days of the week? What are we now going to do as believers? Change the names of the week because of their pagan origin? Are we now going to stop using these names for the days of the week because of their pagan origin? And what does it matter what the days of the week are called? The true Christians are not responsible for the names of the days of the week, and neither does their use defile Christians as long as we do not worship these deities. That is scriptural sense. Come on! In other words, something having a pagan origin does not necessarily mean we cannot use it, if we use it in a truly Christian way. How we use something is what really matters, regardless of its pagan origin. The fundamental question remains, therefore, brothers and sisters, what are we going to do with the established holiday of Christmas, regardless of its pagan origin? The Branham movement do not touch Christmas, for they treat it as though there is nothing in this period of the year that concerns us as believers. Then I ask, when do you celebrate him? Which time of the year do you celebrate him? Church, I know someone will tell me, well, I celebrate Jesus every day. The Bible states that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, for it is an everyday worship. We all know that. John 4:24. For it is a scriptural fact that we should be celebrating him every day of our lives, making our bodies a living, every day, sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, a sacrifice which the Holy Scripture refers to as a reasonable service, and not just during a designated period of time called Christmas. Romans 12:2-1. However, the point is, we still come together on Sundays to honor His resurrection, despite the fact that we celebrate Him every day of our lives. As believers, we still gather together every Sunday, even though we worship the Lord every day of our lives, in spirit and in truth. Are you with me? We come together on Sundays to honor His resurrection, and yet, we do not have that as a commandment. No, we do not have it as a commandment, but we do so because we have it in the Holy Scriptures, as a practice of the early church, a practice we are to continue, and a practice which we do continue. And as I just stated, the early Gentile church did not worship on Sundays as a commandment. They did it as a practice, because they realized the importance of Christ's resurrection, and they chose that day above all other days, as a day for the early church saints to come together, in honor of His resurrection, and the day on which the church was born. The day of Pentecost was on Sunday, and that was when the church of God was born. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 2 records. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the day when the early church gathered together for service, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Apostle Paul stated, and upon the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, in honor of the resurrection, and because it was the day when the church was born, marking a new beginning, the dawn of a new day for the Gentile church, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Thank God that Jesus rose from the grave early on that blessed Sunday morning, for His resurrection evidences the fact that the gospel is not only in force, but that it is also effective, being most powerful, which was why it was able to bring the Son of God out from the grave, death losing its power. Hallelujah! Brothers and sisters, as I must continue to warn, there is a right way to look at things, and there is a wrong way. In the early church, they saw something, which was what made them gather together on the first day of the week, around the word, a practice they maintained, but not as a commandment. And because it is not by commandment, is precisely why some of you walk in humanitarian positions, functioning in the human society today, either as nurses or as medical doctors, undertaking essential services. Consequently, many times, it will fall on your lot to come to the hospital to work on a Sunday, and you have to go, so as to save lives, and to tend to the sick in the hospital, by going to work on a Sunday, providing essential services to humanity. Is not an offense, because our worshipping on the Sunday is not by law. However, and this is the flip side, saints, you may decide to visit your uncle or aunt on a Sunday, or even have a leisure activity planned, when you should be in service, which makes you out of order. For instance, on Sunday mornings, in the Western world, they wash and shine their cars, rather than go to church somewhere. You can also lose your shoe on Saturday night, so you can look for it on Sunday morning. In other words, you can give yourself an excuse for not coming to church on Sunday, but God knows all about it. The truth is, Sunday worship is not by law, and no one can lay today as a law either, as it is a tradition which the early church established for us. However, as believers, Gentile saints, we all honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is why we are all here today. Are you with me? That is why we are here today, because we are here to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is why, even though today is Christmas Day, we are still in church service, honoring His resurrection, which is not by commandment, but it is simply our manner of life. Coming back on course, the bottom line, therefore, is this, despite the fact that we worship God every day in spirit and in truth, we still set Sunday apart to worship the Lord, as a day when we come together around the word of Christ. And if we come honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what stops us from also celebrating His birth? This is the issue. And do we need scripture in order to celebrate his birth? Do we also need to be told to celebrate his birth in order for us to celebrate it? Yet, I will give you scriptures this morning by the grace of God, after I have first given you the testimony and stand of the largest messenger to this Laodicean age, with that of the chief apostle, the Paul of this end time. Look at it this morning, before Donald Trump took over the presidency of the United States of America, in January the 20th, 2017. It was under the presidency of Barack Obama, the devil launched a mass war against Christmas, using Barack Obama, a self-professed and active socialist, till he could not even wish anyone in the United States a Merry Christmas, because it had been made politically incorrect and was even considered offensive to the people of other faiths to wish people a Merry Christmas on a Christian holiday, even though Muslims can openly wish people Eid Mubarak. Blessed celebration, Ramadan Kareem. Have a generous Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak, Happy Ramadan, or Happy Eid al-Fitr. On Islamic religious celebration periods, without it offending the people of other faiths, you could lose your job if you dare to wish someone a Merry Christmas in America, because it had been made politically offensive. Thanks to Barack Obama, that hypocrite and hater of Christianity, the man anointed by Lucifer to open the doors of hell to the nation of America, with his LGBT crusade, spurred on by his vice president, Joe Biden. The late sister Angie Smallwood, the daughter of her late brother Alvin Soggs, almost got sacked at her place of work, which was a Home Depot store, because she greeted a customer with Merry Christmas. She was officially reprimanded for it, but was spared a dismissal, only because she was a highly valued member of staff. So, if the political world is doing all they possibly can to erase the memory and the knowledge of Jesus Christ from the world by waging a direct war on Christmas, making the greetings of Merry Christmas politically incorrect and offensive, and by waging war on the preaching of the truth of the Holy Scriptures through their so-called hate laws, should it be the Christians that should be complacent about Christmas? Open your eyes and see what the day is saying. What do you think they will come against next, if not your public, open confession of Jesus Christ? Wake up. That is why we must realize that we must know just how to look at something, particularly this Christmas celebration. That was precisely why in the message we quoted earlier, delivered on Christmas Day, the 25th of December 1949, entitled The Deity of Jesus Christ, paragraphs 25 to 31, William Branham sternly warned, but who would listen? He warned, plainly declaring, there is a great picture I'd like to picture, convey, to you this morning. I see a lamb out in the field, a-feeding. The little fellow becomes nervous and he just wonders, looking over in the reeds right behind him. I see a lion sleeping up, real easy. See, patting his tail on the ground, getting his feet ready for a spring. That's the church out there in the field. The darkness of communism is pushing all over the world, closing in like a great shadow. And this is the law of contrast. Take light before day. It's always the darkest before day, because the days are breaking, pushing the darkness. And it's the law of contrast, you see, makes it the darkest before the day breaks. And we're in that same thing now. It's just the darkest before day. The great shadows of darkness is pushing in to fulfill the man of sin. Now pay close attention to this. Did you notice, in this very Christmas time, all the communist countries are, instead of sending out Christ in the manger, they send out little books of Stalin, putting Stalin's picture on it. Did you hear that? We will take that statement again. Did you notice, in this very Christmas time, all the communist countries are, instead of sending out Christ in the manger, they send out little books of Stalin, putting Stalin's picture on it. The man who opposes himself above all that's called God, so forth, getting a great part of the world into his clutches, aggressively spreading communism, getting the world into the clutches of communism. And another thing then, that, all these, that's to fulfill the scripture. And then, again, I warn you to notice another thing. One of the fulfilling, these people who are formal in these formal churches, is rising up against the move of God, a current move in that day, The Bible restoring move of God through the promised Elijah. And the Bible said they would have a form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And they are taking their stand. Communism is taking its stand. Praise God, the Holy Ghost is taking its stand. Yes. Watch, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then I'll raise up a standard against it. That's right. And the church has taken her stand, I mean the Holy Ghost Church. That is precisely what we are doing this morning by this message. By the grace of God, we are taking a firm stand for something Christian, giving the right perspective on Christmas, totally dispelling the clouds of darkness. That is what this scribe is about. And may God help us to do justice to the truth, so that the thick clouds of liberalism and atheism, which are the clouds of the darkness of communism, socialism, is completely pushed back. Brothers and sisters, what the Branham movement refused to realize, all out of willful and blind unbelief, all out of their stone-heartedness, is that Brother Branham believed in Christmas. He often took Christmas messages, and he greeted the church at Christmas. Apart from the fact that he even received and also gave Christmas gifts, because the wisdom of God ruled his life and his ministry. The same things apply to Brother Raymond Jackson. As a matter of fact, in December 1972, Brother Jackson even took a message on Christmas, which can be obtained on audio, from the website of Faith Assembly, and is titled The Revelation of Christmas, Parts 1 and 2, a title which needs no explanation, and which is evidence of the fact that Brother Jackson believed in Christmas. Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, as anointed and highly revelated vessels of God, consecutive lead ministries, totally avoided religious extremes, striking a perfect balance on truth, even in relation to Christmas. My oh my! You say you do not believe in Christmas, and yet, your prophet, the man you claim to believe, the largest messenger to this last age, did believe, just as a chief apostle, the Paul of this same time, also did. In December the 14th, 1963, in a sermon we quoted earlier, titled, Why Little Bethlehem, paragraphs 14 to 18, William Branham declared, you know, at Christmas, I think we all, too many of us, I wouldn't say all, but too many of us lose the real value of what Christmas is. He made this declaration because he believed in Christmas, for of a truth, it has real value, and hence, he tried to put the celebration of Christmas in its true spiritual perspective for the children of God, who have ears to hear. Skipping further down in this quote, Brother Branham now stated categorically about Christmas. But, remember, whatever what day it might be, we still doesn't take away the sacredness of what it's supposed to be. Where Satan has robbed us of this, has made a great commercial out of Christmas. And Santa Claus stole all of the worship. But that doesn't take the real thing away from we Christians. Exactly. There is a real thing about Christmas, and that is Jesus Christ in his life giving divine scriptural revelation. Still speaking about the position of Brother Branham on Christmas, in his sermon dated December the 22nd, 1963, and titled, God's Gifts Always Find Their Places, paragraphs 1 to 3, the prophet said, Evening, friends. I just got in a while ago, and I thought I could come down to church service and wish you all a Merry Christmas. And so, I didn't know I'd have this grand privilege to talk to you on the word of the Lord. And so, Brother Neville asked me to preach, and I had several little Christmas texts that I'd been using, one of them up at Phoenix, and down at Tucson, different places around there, a regular Christmas message. And I thought, tonight, I'd just speak on a little something here that the Lord put upon my mind recently, as I was up in Colorado. And I was thinking on something at Christmas time, and I got about 5 or 6 of the little jots wrote down here, scriptures and things. On the day, Brother Branham took this Christmas message, titled, God's Gifts Always Find Their Places, which is absolutely true, particularly where we consider the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ. That is precisely why it is written in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. How much more the gift of Christ? Church, In delivering his Christmas messages, the prophet never failed to put Christmas in its right scriptural perspective, taking it away from all carnal and non-Christian perspectives, for it is all about Jesus Christ, and it should all be about Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Hence, on December the 23rd, 1959, when Brother Branham took questions and answers, in paragraph 29, he declared, "So I appreciate all your prayers. And by God's help and grace, a very Merry Christmas to every one of you. Remember my saying, this is not Santa Claus, this is for Jesus. You see, Christmas means Christ." And we were driving around last night, showing the kiddies all the houses decorated with Christmas lights and colorful figurines and everything, which is awful nice. But I thought, if there ever is anything on my house that I ever wanted to write, would be a neon sign, an electric sign lighted long tube, saying, "Trust in Christ will be in your Christmas." In other words, I trust that Christ will be in your Christmas. Then the prophet added, for much needed emphasis, declaring, "That's right. Put Christ back into Christmas. That is it. That is what matters. Let us put Christ back into Christmas, and not take Christmas out, for it is all about Him. It is not about Santa Claus, it is about Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of God to all mankind." John 3:16. Why did William Branham give such a strong admonition? It is simply because he believed in Christmas, and he earnestly desired that Christ would be at the center of its celebration. In the sermon titled, "Conference with God," dated the 20th of December, 1959, Brother Branham greeted the church on paragraph 17, saying, "Many of you, of course, will have to go back to your homes today, or after this service, maybe this morning. We want to say we appreciate you so much. And we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and the best of the new year. God be with you and give you new things, more of the new life that you're seeking and hungering for." That's what I'm doing, myself, is hungering for more of God. That is what Christmas should mean to us, having more of God, who is fully revealed in Christ. Again, in his message we consider daily our own path, delivered precisely on a Christmas day, December the 25th, 1949, and titled, "The Deity of Jesus Christ," paragraph 1, Brother Branham greeted the church, saying, "Brother Graham, thank you. Morning, everyone, and a Merry Christmas to all of you. We're so happy to be back again this morning, here at the Tabernacle, to be with this lovely little group." Then in paragraph 28, Brother Branham gave a serious warning which we considered earlier, but first he declared, "It's just the darkness before day. The great shadows of darkness is pushing in to fulfill the man of sin." Then he warned, "Did you notice, in this very Christmas time, all the communist countries are, instead of sending out Christ in the manger, they send out little books of Stalin, putting Stalin's picture on it, instead of sending out Christ in the manger," meaning, Christ that was born, God's greatest gift to man. So, we can all clearly see that the prophet to this age most certainly believed in Christmas, and he most certainly celebrated Christmas with his family, and he even publicly wished the saints a Merry Christmas. That did not take away his faith, and neither did it make him pagan. Just because Christmas was started by the Roman Catholic Church, when it is still all about Jesus the Christ, over whom the Church of Rome really has no true claim, particularly when his observance of Christmas was in a godly way. Come on! Now, let me address the movement this morning. Brothers and sisters, as I must continue to reiterate, Christmas is a period set aside by the Roman Catholic Church as a public holiday, a Christian holiday, for Christians all over the globe to remember the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. It has become an established holiday globally, and you are not going to change that fact. So, what do we do with this Christian holiday? What are you going to do with Christmas, a Christian holiday that you have no choice over? We ought to utilize it in a truly Christian way, in remembrance of the birth of Christ, to the glory of God. Period. That only makes sense, because you will still have this holiday, whether you like it or not, Because it is now a public Christian holiday around the globe. As we stated before, around the world, Christmas has been greatly commercialized, and people abuse it by sending cards and gifts all over the globe, putting themselves in great debt, unnecessary debt, when Christmas has absolutely nothing to do with all that. We are not expected to send cards and gifts to the moon and to buy gifts for the world. The Victorians, who are noted historically for celebrating Christmas, with Christ at the center, used the Christmas period as a time to appreciate family and friends and to give gifts, not only to family, as a reflection of the great gift of God to mankind in the person of His Son, but they would take time to give to those less fortunate than themselves. Now today, people just see the gifts and the merriment, and nothing else. As a family, we are supposed to celebrate this time, and we should celebrate it with our families. And even if you, as an individual, do not celebrate it, because you do not believe in Christmas, the fact still remains that your neighbors will definitely celebrate it. Regardless of what you think about Christmas, your neighbors will celebrate it. But the issue is this, and let me bring this issue down to your level, closer to home. And I say this in particular to the Branham movement. You do not believe in Christmas. You do not celebrate Christmas, which is okay for you. However, your neighbors do, and at Christmas, their children will have a new shirt and new trousers, or a new dress, or new shoes, and particularly new toys. Now, in your case, because you are very insensitive and inconsiderate, you buy nothing for your children, and you give nothing to them, except to tell them, "We do not believe in Christmas." They will simply say, "All right, Daddy." Then when they go out to play, and they see other children with their new toys, or they see them in their new clothes, or what they got from their daddies and mommies for Christmas, their Christmas presents, and your own children have been given nothing, they will be most sad, and they will even cry, saying to the other children in a miserable way, "My daddy says we do not celebrate Christmas." That is being insensitive and inconsiderate, and if you cannot see that, then something is wrong with you, for they are only children. There is an understanding that rules God's people, that we know how to relate to our children, because they are little children. You cannot leave them out at Christmas without a little gift, however small, something to put a smile on their faces. Otherwise, they will feel unloved and sad, particularly when they are with other children who are receiving gifts at Christmas time. Consequently, wisdom dictates, brothers and sisters, that as parents, we do not need to kill ourselves, bringing ourselves into great debt, unnecessary debt, borrowing huge sums of money to buy the house, expensive things, in order to give our children gifts at Christmas, except you can afford it. However, any little thing will do, for we are supposed to teach our children to appreciate whatever they are given, and however small, and not make them little spoiled brats who are always craving for the expensive things that other children have, regardless of your economic state as their parents. In this regard, you do not have to wait till December to buy Christmas gifts for your children. You can buy them in the early part of the year, when such things are unbelievably cheap, and keep them away discreetly till Christmas, when everything becomes awfully expensive. Most of the time, my wife buys our birthday gifts and Christmas gifts way ahead of the time, when their prices are down, and she keeps them away discreetly till the time they are to be given out. That is being smart. When Jason and Mark were small, a good number of times, around the middle of the year, I would buy things like sparklers, when they are ridiculously cheap, for nobody wants them at such times, and I simply put them away discreetly till it is Christmas. That little firework that burns slowly and throws out a shower of sparks, which they hold in love to run around with, is most popular at Christmas time, and can be quite costly in that period. Are you with me? I am only making a point. Welcome to the world of reality, as responsible parents. Whether you like it or not, your children will play at Christmas with other children, children of your neighbors, who celebrate Christmas, and you do not want to make your own children unhappy, feeling unloved, and left in the cold, at Christmas time. You would be insensitive not to at least consider your children, because they are only children. So, if you really do not want to celebrate Christmas, because you just do not believe in celebrating it, it makes more sense to say to your children, John and Janet, come children, let us talk. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. God gave him to us to save our souls, giving us eternal life, and that is why we appreciate his birth. But you know, we really do not want to join the world in celebrating a birth that was not on December the 25th. Nevertheless, we want to give you a small token of love. Enjoy yourselves, and may God bless you both. I do not say this for myself. I say it for the sake of those of you who do not believe in it, and who do not want to celebrate it, because you are a total liberty in this matter. The fact is, when you give your children that little gift, that little treat, that token of love at Christmas, they will be happy, and then your message will sink in. It is then they can appreciate your take on Christmas, they can appreciate your message. But if you do not do that, your message will never sink in. They will just see you as parents who do not love them, and at Christmas, they will be sad, miserable, and they will cry when the other children are rejoicing, showing off their Christmas presents. It is most inconsiderate and insensitive of parents to do that to their children. However, as I must also continue to warn, you do not need to borrow and kill yourself in order to give a gift. Just a little token of love will do, and you can at least do that. Be sensitive to the feelings of these little children, for they are only children, and they are precious. We want to make them happy. We do not want them to be sacked and feel out of place and unloved. When I was still at Grace and Truth Tabernacle, Oro, Lagos, where I came into the entire message, they do not celebrate Christmas in their assembly. After service one day, which was during the Christmas season, we were going home from church, and as we walked, the brother that I was walking with said, I thank God we do not celebrate Christmas in this church, because I do not have to worry about my family at this Christmas period. I just looked at him and said nothing, because there was no point. The brother had his own family, a wife and children, and yet, he did not want to acknowledge them in any way, by giving or showing them a gesture of love. That is most selfish, insensitive, and inconsiderate. He was thanking God because the church do not celebrate Christmas. Otherwise, he would have had to look for something for his children, even if he did not get anything for his wife. Although he should have. Whenever I think of Christmas, I never forget that incident. At the time, I just looked at him and shook my head, and simply went my own way. I was still a single man then, as I was not yet married, but I knew that at Christmas, I would give my children presents, however small. I would not buy gifts for the world, but at least, I would buy for my children, because they are my children, and I would give my wife something, however small, as a token of my love. Saints of God, we all know that Christ did not die so that we can send gifts all over the globe, because that is not what Christmas is about. But we should not forget our loved ones, at least our children and spouses. For me, as a poor preacher, who can truly say like Apostle Peter, silver and gold have I none, it is not possible for me to give gifts to everyone, because I am not Father Christmas, Santa Claus, except to pray for you all, and to uphold the standard of the revealed truth of Jesus Christ, for the edification of your precious souls, so that together, we can make the rapture, and the return of Christ, who is the essence of Christmas. Nevertheless, at Christmas, my wife and I may give a little token of love to that poor caretaker, who sweeps and cleans our residential building in London, a person no one remembers, and we may give a little token of love to our immediate neighbors, and next door neighbors, but we cannot and will not be giving gifts to the world. The fact is that because it is an hour when we remember the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Son of God, sometimes we are moved in our hearts to give a gift, particularly to the less privileged, although you can also take that to extremes and kill yourselves with it. And I say that because you are not asked to give any gifts. Whatever the case, brothers and sisters, let us not forget our loved ones, particularly our children. I want to encourage you to remember your loved ones and send them a card, a Christmas card. May I even ask you, what time of the year do you have to show your love and appreciation to your wife, or to your husband, or to your children, or to your parents. And what better time of the year do you have to show your love and appreciation to them? Come on! Speaking of Christmas gifts, in a sermon delivered on April the 15th, 1951, and titled Love Story, Brother Branham testified in paragraph 81, saying, just right after that, the 1937 flood come on. And when it did, I got a job then. I went to working for the conservation, and I was patrolling out. So when the floods begin to come up, and you remember hearing it here, many of you was there, and how people been washed away and things. And Hope, who was Brother Branham's first wife, taken sick. She was going over to get me a Christmas present. And the Fox's Book of the Matters is what I wanted for a Christmas present. And she got me a little fish box as a Christmas present. In the same sermon, titled Love Story, which he delivered 3 months later, precisely on July 22, 1951, Brother Branham also testified in paragraph 71, saying, and little old brother George, the night come, I remember it was just day before Christmas. Wife went over the river to get the kiddies Christmas presents. This open admission proves that Brother Branham and his wife bought Christmas presents for their children. Again, in the message he preached on December the 31st, 1961, and titled, You Must Be Born Again, paragraph 19, the prophet equally stated, God bless each one of you. I want to say again for the nice Christmas presents that each one give me. The church gave me a new suit. Oh, how I appreciate it. And I got 2 new suits for Christmas. My brother, the little church down in Macon, Georgia, down there, Brother Palmer, sent me a new suit. And the tabernacle gave me a new suit. And there are so many nice things given and Christmas gifts in the line of many. Still speaking about Christmas gifts and thinking about the less fortunate children out there at Christmas time. Poor children who have nothing. In the message given on the 23rd of December, 1962, and titled, The Reproach for the Cause of the Word, paragraph 306, the prophet stated, Bless the little children. I'm thinking of many today. Little, poor little fellows won't receive anything out there. Children who would not have any Christmas present, because no one will give them any Christmas gift. And I pray that you'll be with them and help them. Give them eternal life, Lord. That's the great. That's the Christmas gift that we want, is the life of Jesus Christ to rule and reign in my heart. That's what I want, Lord. Just think about that and learn something. If Brother Branham would remember poor children at Christmas, just why will you not at least remember your own children and spouse at Christmas? Wake up. May God give us understanding, for that is what we need. Again. On February the 19th, 1965, in his sermon, titled, This Day This Scripture is Fulfilled, paragraph 32, Brother Branham stated, And my wife had just given me a new Bible for Christmas. My old Bible is about 15 years old, and the thing was just about torn to pieces. In his message of the 7th of December, 1965, and titled, Leadership, paragraph 2, Brother Branham also stated, And I want to thank that lady, I can't think of her name, Billy just told me, that had given me a box of Christmas candy, Christmas sweets, probably chocolates, and just brought it out to the car a few moments ago. The sister, I can't think of her name, she's from here in California. That was my first Christmas present that year. Brother Branham died under 3 weeks later, precisely on Christmas Eve, December the 24th, 1965. In Amarillo, Texas. Concerning this very gift, the prophet added, So I thank you for it. May I now ask, just how can people claim to be following the prophet's message and not see example sheep as to how we are to relate to Christmas? It just does not make any sense. Brother Branham most certainly believed in Christmas, and he always celebrated Christmas with his family. The prophet to this age did just that. Making his family appreciate the true value of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to whom Christmas points, and of whom Christmas is about. So I do not know what exactly they are reading in his message out there in the movement that they cannot see this plain fact, since, even on such a basic simple issue of Christmas, the movement have no clue about the message of Elijah. What then can they understand when they cannot even see the simple truth of Christmas? My own, I just think about that. And why should they understand anything when they willfully reject apostolic leadership, when they blatantly reject the continuing lead ministry of Raymond Jackson, the chief apostle, who put the message of Elijah in its proper scriptural perspective for them? No wonder they fell away from the faith and led the whole of Christendom into the great apostasy, the great falling away from the pure revealed Bible faith of Jesus Christ to which we were restored here at this evening time by the message of Elijah. Church, Christmas is a time that we should spend with our family, and if we do not have one, or it is that we are away from our family at Christmas, then we can come together as brethren and celebrate Christmas. Single brethren can spend Christmas either with their loved ones or with the brethren, just as my family and I did with the saints in Langburn in South Africa during the Christmas of 2016. Please do not stay alone on Christmas Day, for the devil may make you miserable. Rejoice in the gift of life that we have of God in Jesus Christ. It is not a time to seek in isolation and mope, for God has been good to us. Celebrate it in a godly way, thanking God for his elective love and mercy towards us, and asking for help to live a consecrated life to the Lord as we approach the return of Christ. A few years back, precisely in December the 20th, 17, I traveled to London to spend Christmas with my family, the only time in the whole year that I devote to being with my family, and together we flew to Orlando, Florida, where we spent Christmas. It was in a humble hotel room that Christmas that I broke the bread, the word of life, and gave my family an exposition of the truth of Genesis, a truth which I also later shared with the church, and I titled, The Doctrine of the Seed of the Serpent. That is the main message that we will also produce in the Scribe magazine, in this Thought Scribe session of 2020, by the grace of God. It was during our family devotion in that Christmas period that I received the inspiration for that message, and we enjoyed our time together as a family, sharing the goodness of God, playing clean games like Monopoly, watching some sensible Christian movies, and watching documentaries, in order to enhance our knowledge of things apart from visiting the John F. Kennedy Space Center and a few other tourist venues, like the Holy Land Experience, where we saw the Nativity of Christ being enacted, drinking our favorite soft drinks with ice cream and snacks, enjoying and appreciating the love and mercy of God for giving us eternal redemption through Jesus Christ and giving us the opportunity to be together as a family. In this regard, I cannot but thank Brother Edward and Sister Titila Yorolobayo, Brother Bola, and Sister Joy Omobo, Brother Idris and Sister Bomi Amadu, Brother Wally and Sister Nkonyui Omoboriowo, Brother Felix and Sister Clara Achi Biri, and Brother Fidelis and Sister Riji Omenimani, for God has placed it in their hearts and uses them to help me travel somewhere with my family at Christmas time, knowing that for the great part of the year, I am totally away from my family, who are based in London, majorly because of Brother Mark's health condition. In a similar regard, I would also like to thank Brother Enoch and Sister Ibo, Oye Boha, Brother Rauch A, and Sister Ola Iton, Oye Boha, Sister Hepsi Bagoji Korani, and Sister Rebecca Kodali Triveni, for God has also placed it in their hearts and uses to enable my sons to come from the United Kingdom for our annual conventions. Both my sons, Jason and Mark, never want to miss any of the conventions, and they always beg my wife and I to allow them to attend, but we just cannot afford their airfare. So, my wife and I are most grateful to these brethren for making it possible for our sons to attend conventions, because as believing parents, we want to encourage them in any way possible, seeing that they love this revealed way, and seeing that they earnestly desire to attend the conventions. And what greater thing can we want for our children, that they also come into life eternal? So, coming back to my testimony of the Christmas of 2017, when, in a hotel room. I broke down the truth for my family, titled The Doctrine of the Seed of the Serpent. It was to establish the truth of redemption, showing precisely how we fell, what went on in the garden, what redemption is all about, and what great mercy the Lord has shown to us, leading us into the present truth, so that my wife and sons can see the true light and be solidly grounded in the truth, which constitutes the many mysteries we have in Genesis, back in the Garden of Eden. Brothers and sisters, this is how we usually celebrate Christmas, because it is a time of joy and peace. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 17 to 19, it is written, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." That is what God wants us to do. As a head of our individual families, he expects us to teach our families the ways of our God, helping them to see and appreciate this way of revealed faith. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15, Prophet Joshua declared to the children of Israel, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This should also be our resolve and the drive to how we spend Christmas, the Lord being our helper. So, brothers and sisters, Christmas should be celebrated, regardless of who started the December the 25th celebration, and regardless of its genesis, because it is what you do with it, and how you celebrate it, that matters. It is your faith that matters, what you believe of Christmas, and what you do with Christmas, for by your faith, you are either justified or condemned. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we will celebrate Christmas, and I am not ashamed to let you know that I do celebrate Christmas. It is a time that I want to reflect on the greatest gift of all, the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, with my family, even as it is written in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. This is what Christmas is all about, the birth of the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. So, for me, it is a time I want to spend with my family, more particularly because they are not with me throughout the year. You have yours with you every day, and I am not expecting you to be coming to greet me today on Christmas Day. So, please leave me with my family, and let me enjoy my family on this Christmas Day. No visits today. I love you all with my whole heart, but no visits today. That is just my personal request, not because you cannot visit brethren today, but because I do not have the luxury of being with my family throughout the year, except at this time, and I hope you all understand and appreciate my unusual situation, if I am being a little selfish at Christmas. If you are single, please do not stay alone, but go somewhere with family, brethren, or friends, and enjoy yourself. Enjoy the day, and do not be alone in your apartment feeling miserable and sorry for yourself. Come on! Life is too short, and God has been so good to us, for you to do that to yourself. Go to your brother or sister somewhere, or visit your family, or your friends, and have a time of fellowship and reflection. Enjoy the day, and rejoice in the gift of life that we have through Christ Jesus. However, if you choose to spend Christmas by yourself, praying and meditating on the Lord, you are at total liberty, for the choice is absolutely yours. As it is written, "Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." 2 Corinthians 3:17. Brothers and sisters, the first time I would be visiting Faith Assembly, which was in December of 1993, About 2 or 3 days before Christmas, I travel with a friend and his family to Philadelphia from Staten Island, New York, from where we traveled down to Newark, New Jersey. Whilst we were in Philadelphia, I called Brother Jackson on the phone and informed him that I was in the United States and that I would love to visit him in Jeffersonville, Indiana. There was no way I would travel to the States, having come into the continuity light of Christ that he bore for the universal bride, and not meet him, that I may know the man personally, and have fellowship with him, and sit live under him, as one of his followers. So, I said, Brother Jackson, I want to come over to Faith Assembly. I wanted to go over immediately. Brother Jackson simply told me, Brother Segun, you can come right after Christmas, as I will be spending Christmas with my family. Church, his reply did not make me feel bad at all, but rather, it made me have a new outlook towards Christmas. It opened my eyes of understanding, and I appreciated his response, despite my excitement to meet him, for I just could not wait to meet that humble and faithful man of God. Since, understanding will not make you feel bad. It is when you are just being selfish and self-centered, when all you think about is yourself, that you take offense, appreciating and understanding nothing. The chief apostle had reserved the day, Christmas Day, for his own family, just to be with his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. Are you with me? It is a day when they all came together as a family, to thank God for all he had done, to thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ, and to enjoy the goodness of God, sharing the joy of Christmas peacefully with his family. Brother Branham did the same thing, for he usually celebrated Christmas with his family. Yet, the mainstream Branham movement will tell you, in the message, we do not celebrate Christmas. Yuck, yuck, yuck. They just have no clue, for they certainly do not know Brother Branham, and neither do they understand his Bible-restoring message. No, I did not know Brother Branham personally either, for I was just under 6 years of age when he passed away. However, revelationally, spiritually speaking, I know the man like no other person on this planet today, and it is all by the grace of God. That is what I mean. This reminds me of the testimony that Brother Wilbur Jordan emailed to me from New Jersey, where he wrote, Greetings, Brother Amos. As always, it's great to be able to speak with you. I don't take it lightly. As promised, I'm including a testimony from about year-end 2010 to the beginning of 2011. Brother, my former pastor, Brother Fletcher, visited me at our home after speaking ill of me because I decided to leave his flock. As you know, I left to follow truth, and he didn't carry that message. But when he visited our home, I asked him about your ministry. He responded that he hadn't known anyone that knew the message of the hour better than you, referring to the Bible restoring message of Brother Branham. So I asked him, had he heard any error in your message? He responded, no. I then said, well, what's the problem? No response was given. How sad. Please continue to allow yourself to be used of God, because we're listening. Shalom. May God bless Brother Wilbur for his firm stand for truth. Saints of God, we can all clearly see that both Elijah and the chief apostle celebrated Christmas, and may I add that you cannot be more spiritual than them. Full stop. So, stop behaving like the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Church, may I re-emphasize, therefore, that whilst you may not celebrate Christmas, because you do not see the need in celebrating Christmas, just do not forget that you have children, and that they are going to face a reality of something out there. The gifts or toys that other children, your neighbors, will receive for Christmas. I remember those years, ever before I even reached teenage years, that at Christmas, I knew I would have new outfits. I was sure to have new clothes. It was the one time of the year that I knew, if I did not get anything throughout that year as a gift, aside from my birthday, I knew I would get new clothes, a new shirt, new trousers, and new shoes. And as a child, when I wore those new clothes at Christmas, it made me feel so good. But even if you cannot afford new clothes for your children, you can at least buy them toys, for children love toys. All children do. You cannot fail. getting them toys, for they just love toys. I remember one particular Christmas when I was dying to have a particular toy, and I went into my mother's wardrobe and stole her money to buy that little toy. Oh my! We were living in Moshin area of Lagos at that time, and I ran with the money to buy a little toy gun, a small inexpensive pistol. I was just a little boy desiring to have a toy gun. My parents had given me a new shirt, and trousers, and new shoes, but I just wanted a toy, particularly a toy gun. I never really had toys when I was small, and when I saw other children playing with their toys, how I used to really envy them. And because of my childhood, even though I had a lot of love and care for my parents, I had very few toys. So I decided that when I was all grown up and have my children, they will definitely have toys. Brothers and sisters, you know, the irony of it is just as Brother Branham stated, remembering his own extremely poor upbringing, when he had nothing as a child, he bought his son lots of toys, so he would not experience his poor upbringing. However, he added something in this wise: let me buy a toy for my son, Billy, and then I will see him play with sticks tomorrow. He will leave the toy and be playing with sticks or a contraption that he has made. How many have read something to that effect in the sermon books? So, he decided, I am not going to waste my money getting him lots of toys. That was Brother Branham's own experience, and he did not say that to mean that he was not going to buy them any more gifts. He was only making a point that because the children of today have lots of toys, particularly in the West, they have a small attention span for them, because they have so many to choose from, and so many that they own. And sometimes, you know, you can even slave yourself for your children, and they still not really appreciate it, but it is what they do by themselves that they appreciate. Exactly. The truth is that my experience with my children is quite the opposite to that of Brother Branham, for it is quite different. It is, in fact, the reverse. They do not care what you buy for them. Even if it is a little toy, they will play with everything, and they appreciate everything, and are happy with everything. So, I do not have a problem giving gifts to them, because however small it is, they appreciate it, and play with it, and they do not question it, and say, no, this is not what I want. You know there are some children like that. They want a particular thing, which is what their friends or peers have, however expensive. And that is what they are going to kill their parents to have, being very unreasonable and inconsiderate, and without any sense of appreciation. So, brothers and sisters, my wife and I are very blessed in this regard. Whatever we give Brother Jason and Brother Mark, and however small it may be, they are happy with it, and you will see them forever playing with it. And I often wonder, that is even too small to be playing with, but they are just happy and content. They live in a society where children have lots and lots of toys, where at Christmas, they receive loads of toys, for that is the gift most people give to children. Therefore, in the West, a child having a room full of toys is nothing. The point is, if I ask my sons what gift they want, whatever the occasion, or what they want me to buy for them, they never make any demands, regardless of my pressuring them. Rather, they are happy with whatever we get for them. So, I thank God for that. Sometimes, their auntie asks them, what do you want as a gift? They simply reply, anything. At other times, they may ask for just one little thing, and I will be wondering, how can you ask your aunt for that? Because it is so small, but you know, that is just them, and I thank God for that, because I do not need to kill myself just to get them something. In Africa, many of us grew up not having these things, maybe one or two little toys. I remember the day my dad came home with a brand new bicycle. Wow! Heaven came down in my world that day. I could not believe it, for I was just so happy. We had a primary school right in front of our house at that time, in the Ile Ife town. I would ride round the school hall from morning till evening, enjoying myself. Brothers and sisters, it is good to touch your children with acts of love, because this is what they can relate to, and these are the memories they will always have, what they will always remember. If at my age I can still remember these things, for they are fond memories to me. Then what about our children? In Africa in particular, we do not know how to play with our children. African parents do not play with children, unlike in the West, where the daddy will play with the children and roll on the floor or grass with them and play games. That is poor Africa for you. Brothers and sisters, you must understand that today is Christmas, and as such, I do not need to give you a serious message, only one of love and affection at this Yuletide, Christmas, season. We want to help one another in our relationships, particularly how we relate to this time as believers. It is a time we really want to show love and affection, particularly to our loved ones, because if God so loved us that He gave us His only begotten Son, then this love should impact our lives, and it should make us also touch the lives of our loved ones with God's love, because as the saying goes, charity begins at home. For if we cannot show love and affection towards our loved ones, who else are we going to show love and affection to? Who else? So, for me as an individual, learning from the lives of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, I just want to spend this Christmas day with my family, and that is the truth. Of course, if Christmas falls on a service day, I will still go to church on Christmas Day, just as we are doing here in service today. Nevertheless, Christmas is a time I want to spend with my family and rejoice with my family for the greatest gift God has given to us, who is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Church, having dealt with the issue of Christmas gifts and how we are to spend Yuletide, we cannot but also deal with the issue of Christmas trees, along with other related issues, for we are not here playing a game of hide and seek. I do not want anyone emailing me, asking me anything about Christmas, after we have produced this tribe. Therefore, we want to be thorough in setting forth this message on Christmas, titled, The Joy of Christmas. As we continue to reiterate, we must be able to see the truth about something, for it is an absolute truth of God that He gave us His Son, which was precisely why in His own day, Brother Jackson took a message on Christmas, which he gave a very instructive title, for he titled it, The Revelation of Christmas. Since he gave it this title, simply because there is an absolute scriptural truth about Christmas, although his main focus in that message was simply to establish the scriptural fact that Jesus Christ was not born in December, but that he was born in the fall, autumn, between late September and mid-October. Nevertheless, that sermon title in itself is most instructive as it carries a message of Christmas, proving that it is the truth, for indeed, there is a revelation of Christmas. People just do not know how to look at things and to strike a scriptural balance. Consequently, saints of God, we cannot take anything into extremes, and I say this with regards to the Christmas tree, which is an issue we now want to consider. Listen to this, and may God give His children true understanding. In a 1953 sermon titled, The Cruelty of Sin and the Penalty That It Caused to Rid Sin from Our Lives, paragraph 82, the prophet declared, and every man or woman that goes to church, today I was thinking of the cathedrals ringing out, and the bells are tolling, and so forth like that, and people going to the church and making ready, and the women buying their Easter hats, and so forth. What has this come to? How? I can't understand where a bit has anything to do with the resurrection of Christ at Easter. See, no, sir. How a Christmas tree has anything to do with the birth of Christ? It's pagan, friends. We've got off the path somewhere. That's right. But now a real born-again man or woman realizes, because there is life within you, tells you that that's wrong. Did you hear that? He said that the Christmas tree is pagan, and that it has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. However, about 7 years later, precisely on Christmas Day, December 1960, when Brother Branham took the message, titled, God's Wrapped Gift, speaking specifically about the Christmas tree in paragraphs 5 to 7, striking a sensible balance, a scriptural balance, he now stated. Now, another thing I would like to say, as Brother Neville has so well said that, we wish you the best in these Yule tidings, in this time of fellowship around these holy days, and so forth. And then I want to take this time to express, to each and every one of you. How grateful I am to you for your Christmas cards and gifts and things that was received at our house. I certainly thank you with all my heart. Now listen very carefully to what Brother Branham now said, and may God give understanding to his elect seeds, the true eagles of God. The prophet added, "It certainly did us good this morning when I got a little boy, small enough yet to kind of want a Christmas tree, and we had it in the room, in the living room, the parlor, because of the prophet's little boy. And this morning, go under there, under the Christmas tree, I found several gifts for my church here, and my friends from around different places that had come in, laying under the tree, under the Christmas tree. And I don't have words to express to you how I appreciate every one of them. And may the God of heaven bless you richly, is my prayer. And us. You know how it would be. We cannot send back gifts to all the saints who gave him Christmas presents, because the Rajas wouldn't make that much money, you know. I make $100 a week, and I got a big family, and about 10 million friends, and it would sure be kind of hard to go around them. But we are grateful to you in your thoughts. And I'm sure you understand. Now listen to me. Brother Branham did not believe that the Christmas tree had anything to do with the birth of Christ, for it most certainly does not. Nevertheless, the Christmas tree has a global use in most homes at Christmas, and they are decorated with colorful lights, and Christmas gifts laid under it for the family. Whilst the tree meant absolutely nothing to Brother Branham, it was because he had a little boy who wanted to have one, that he had one, as almost every home in the West does, and the prophet could not afford to be sensitive and inconsiderate, for his son was only a little boy. Consequently, because of his little boy, and also for the sake of his other children that came after, Brother Branham usually had a Christmas tree in his home at Christmas, all because of his little children. That was sense at work, for he had to strike a sensible scriptural balance. So, are we going to kill him for that? Did that make him a pagan or an unbeliever? Or did that take away from his faith in the revealed word of Christ? Come on! Brothers and sisters, as believers, we just cannot afford to go into extremes on issues, because I will also remind you now that the Roman Catholic Church is not responsible for the creation of Christmas trees, fir trees, but God is, and they are evergreen trees, representing eternal life, which we have in Jesus Christ. What a person makes of it is what matters, for in nature, God expresses truth, setting forth types and shadows, a beautiful fact which Brother Branham lifted up before us, teaching us to know by the Holy Bible, God's use of types and shadows. Hence, life, death, and resurrection are also expressed in nature. When a tree blossoms, it speaks of life, and later when it sheds its leaves because of the upcoming winter, it speaks of death. And when its leaves break out again in the spring, it speaks of resurrection. In the same typological vein, the fir tree, which is the Christmas tree, is an evergreen tree, speaking of eternal life which only Jesus Christ gives. It speaks of the tree of eternal life with its various fruits, all being attributes of God, which the various lights on the Christmas tree also represent. It is a matter of persuasion, the meaning we attach to something. Because the fir tree, being an evergreen tree, already speaks of eternal life ever before there was a Roman Catholic Church. When my children were small, we also had Christmas trees in our home for them. But now that they are adults, we no longer have any use for Christmas trees, and we have not been putting them up ever since. Why is that? Because our boys are now adults and not children. We cannot be insensitive and inconsiderate. Look at what an historian, Kenneth C. Davis, told CBS this morning, a quote we brought out earlier, where he stated on gbsnews.com, and please note that all emphasis is mine, another custom we can thank the pagans for, Christmas trees. Davis explained that the evergreen trees signal the return of life and light as a winter solstice meant the days were starting to get longer. They started to hang an apple on it. So little red balls on green trees, get the picture here. So all of these things celebrate the idea that life and light are coming back into the world, which is essentially what Christmas means to Christians around the world. That is its symbolism, its representation, the true Christian representation of a Christmas tree. Hence, as I must continue to reiterate, it is a matter of persuasion, the meaning we attach to something, because the fir tree, which is called the Christmas tree, which God created, and which is evergreen, already speaks of eternal life. It speaks of the tree of life, which has different fruits, 12 different fruit, ever before the Roman Catholic Church organization came into existence. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2 provides, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, being evergreen, and hence ever fruitful. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, bringing perfect eternal peace, love, and harmony between all men, whatever their race, color, nationality, and tribe." Since the evergreen tree, called the fir tree, speaks of the tree of life, it types the tree of life. This was why, in talking about the eternal redemption of the nation of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord used the fir tree, which is the Christmas tree, as a perfect type in the book of Hosea chapter 14. Although the prophetic projection starts from verse 1, however, coming to verses 8 to 9, which is the material passage, the Holy Bible records, "Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him, God, and observed him, who is God. I am like a green fir tree. For me," meaning, "in me, is the fruit found," meaning, in the nation of Israel, is the fruit of the life of God found, for she produced the Messiah, the author of eternal salvation, who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. Exactly. "For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein," meaning, the unbelievers shall stumble over these things of God, for they are divine. Amen. Consequently, we must realize, brothers and sisters, that the Church of Rome, as pagan as she may be in her ways, does not have the monopoly over the use of the fir tree and its significance in nature, its representation in nature. And you have to see this truth as revelated seeds of God. For as the fig tree represents the nation of Israel, so is the nation of Israel also compared prophetically to the green fir tree, called the Christmas tree, in Hosea 14:8. For it also represents eternal life, being an evergreen tree. That is why we must always remember that there is a right way to look at something, and there is a wrong way. We must be able to look at things with the eye of revelation, which gives true understanding, as a royal bride of the royal King, Jesus Christ. And no, it is not that you have to put up a Christmas tree in your home at Christmas time, for it is not compulsory, particularly as it has absolutely nothing to do with the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. But if you put it up because of your children, no one will kill you for it. And if anyone will condemn you for it, they will first have to condemn Brother Branham, because he most certainly put up a Christmas tree, and he did not hide or deny this fact, but owned it. Now watch you on that, because the standard and the justice of God is one, for God has no double standards. It is all a matter of persuasion. It is a matter of belief, what you believe about something. Wake up and see the light. For we are not using the fact of persuasion to allow for everything under the moon, but the fact remains, brothers and sisters, that we should still be able to see the truth of something and strike a scriptural balance. And since we are on the subject of things relating to the celebration of Christmas, and since we are talking about striking a proper balance, we might as well also deal with the issue of Santa Claus. We are now going to speak on taking our little children to see Santa Claus, who is called Father Christmas, exclusively for free gifts at Christmas, which little children desire to do. Exactly what is wrong with that, as long as our children are made to know that Santa Claus does not exist in reality, but is only a fictional figure? Come on! It is no different to taking your children to an amusement park for fun. What you build in the mind of your children is what matters, regardless of what the devil throws out there as distractions. If Santa Claus were in town today in Lagos and he was giving out free gifts and I had a little boy or girl, I would take him or her there just for fun and to get a gift. I am not talking of the Nigerian Santa Clauses who will give a child an exercise book. A little child does not need an exercise book at Christmas, as their parents can by the same time. What they need is a toy. In the Western world, Santa Claus gives out real toys, nice toys, to the public, not tacky, cheap, rubbish toys. In the department stores, for instance, the Father Christmas or Santa Claus gives out toys donated by the store itself and by the public. I often marvel at that, as usually no expense is spared in the giving of toys. And in the boroughs and districts or councils of many cities of the world, money is usually allotted annually for such an event, and local businesses give toys to be distributed by the Santas. So, if there was a Santa in town today, and I had a little boy, and I also had the time, I would take him to see Santa, just for fun, and to get a gift from Santa, in order to put a smile on the little boy's face, even though we all know that Santa is a myth, a complete fable, and neither rather else anywhere in the world. When Brother Jason and Brother Mark were small, we took them to see Santa Claus at Harrods department store in London, in the elaborate grotto that they built in store for the families. Santa grotto was a marvel, and built like a maze for the children, and the gifts that they got were not cheap. They were very nice toys. But like I said, what we build in the minds of our children is what matters, regardless of the deception that the devil throws out there at Christmas. The truth is, once people do not see the truth about something, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to put everything else in proper Christian perspective for them. That is the main point. They have to see something first, which is the truth of Christmas. They first have to see Christmas, which is just a name we call the period in which we celebrate the birth of the Son of God. It is just a name for the season when we celebrate the birth of the promised Messiah, and more importantly, it has Christ at its center, Christmas, Christ Day. What is wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. Church, now please come with me to the Holy Scriptures, for we are on holy ground. Taking the book of Romans chapter 14, we will begin from verse 1, where Apostle Paul records, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Watch verse 2, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs." It is a matter of persuasion, a matter of belief, because some people are simply weak in the faith, and we cannot take away this spiritual fact. Hence, in verse 3, St. Paul warned, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand." Now listen to verse 5, and I say this strictly in relation to Christmas, where St. Paul added, "One man esteemeth one day, Christmas day, above another. Another esteemeth every day alike, not caring for Christmas day." But what did Apostle Paul teach? What did he admonish? He declared plainly and categorically, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Exactly. Because it is a matter of spiritual persuasion. That is why he now stated in verse 6, "And please hear him loud and clear, he that regardeth the day," which, in this instance, is Christmas, "he that regardeth Christmas, regardeth it unto the Lord." For as true believers, Jesus Christ is our only focus at Christmas, and on whose exclusive account we regard and celebrate Christmas, not Santa Claus, not St. Nicholas. "And he that regardeth not the day of Christmas, to the Lord he doth not regard it, because he does not believe in it, based on his own perception of faith." It is a matter of persuasion, a matter of faith. "He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks." Exactly. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That is what is material. Now hear the conclusion of the whole matter in verse 14, and learn, for it is the bottom line. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Full stop. End of story. Meaning, case closed. It simply means that Christmas is unclean only to him who esteems or deems it to be unclean. Period. What is more, there are scriptures for our celebration of Christmas, and that is precisely what we are now going to set forth by the grace of God. It is all about how we look at something, how we look at the scriptures. As the chief apostle stated, it is all about revelation, which was the very reason he titled his Christmas message, The Revelation of Christmas. However, before we consider the scriptural grounds for our celebration of Christmas, we first want to consider other issues, other practices, which relate to Christmas, so as to leave no stone unturned, for they are also carried on near the Christmas season. The first of these practices is Halloween. To begin with, Halloween is downright satanic, for it is of the devil, and it is a bewitching hour, when ghosts and spirits are believed to appear. The 1st of November is All Saints' Day in the Roman Catholic Church calendar, and as such, the Eve of All Saints' Day, which is October the 31st, is considered the day of Halloween. The breakdown of Halloween is this: Hallow stands for holy person, and in stands for the eve or the evening of All Saints' Day, hence, the Halloween. This is when people, adults as well as children, dress up in dark and demonic outfits, an hour when witches hold their meetings, and the children go around the neighborhood, dressed in these demonic outfits, asking all their neighbors for a trick-or-treat, which is called trick-or-treat. As I said before, it is a bewitching hour, when spirits are believed to appear, and hence, it is not only downright demonic, but it has absolutely no relation with the celebration of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It has absolutely no Christian connotation or depiction, unlike the Christmas tree, the evergreen, which speaks of the tree of life. Again, it is during the season of Halloween that people use carved pumpkins with their glowing faces, known as jack-o'-lantern. The pumpkin is carved to look scary and demonic, with eyes and a mouth cut out, and a light is placed inside the pumpkin and then placed outside the house or in window, and it is meant to scare away evil spirits, which is a whole load of nonsense. As Christians, I will tell you straight that we have absolutely nothing to do with any of these two practices, which emerge into one Halloween in the United States, for we do not touch Halloween, and neither do we have anything to do with hand-painted and lighted pumpkins, because these are things of the Prince of Darkness. Demons, evil spirits, cannot be scared away by any jack-o'-lantern, for it is only a fairy tale. It is Satan trying to cash in on the Christmas celebrations, but because we are not his people, we are to leave his seat to observe all these demonic things. On the other hand, we belong exclusively to Jesus Christ, who paid the full price for our eternal redemption, and all the ways of God are righteous, not dark or demonic. And through him, who is Jesus Christ, as it is written, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. And as it is also written, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Saints of God, it is clearly written in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. For ye were sometimes darkness in your hearts, in your souls, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now listen to this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Period. We are to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness and have no fellowship with them. Church, having considered the various practices at Christmas time, we will now lay out the scriptural grounds for our celebration of Christmas, because we have to see the scriptural basis for something, regardless of who began the celebration of Christmas in the month of December. To begin with, the absolute and incontrovertible fact of the Holy Scriptures is that Jesus Christ was born, even though he was not born on December the 25th, but he was born on a day, nonetheless. That was why he died on the cross at Calvary, was buried, was resurrected on the third day, and he sent back the Holy Ghost upon the church on the day of Pentecost, giving us the reality of salvation. This is a notorious and undeniable fact, an absolute reality, vindicating the truth that he was truly born. Therefore, this matter goes beyond the Roman Catholic Church organization. Brothers and sisters, I repeat for necessary emphasis, the celebration of the birth of the promised Son of God goes beyond the Church of Rome. Regardless of their pagan outlook and deeds, and regardless of the abuse of Christmas by the world, the endless eating, drinking, partying, buying and sending gifts all over the globe, the incurring of great debts, because Christmas is strictly a Bible matter, and hence, it is still strictly a divine matter. Yes, it most certainly is. Now come with me to the Holy Scriptures, for we must see the perfect mind of the Spirit of God on this subject, this very message, titled, The Joy of Christmas. For regardless of the name that the day on which we celebrate the birth of the Son of God is called, and irrespective of the day that has been chosen to celebrate his birth, it is still a truth that God gave us his Son, for the Savior was truly born. More importantly, brothers and sisters, Christmas is even derived from the name of Christ, the anointed Son of God, for it simply means Christ's Mass, which is the worship day of Christ. It is in honor of Jesus Christ, not in honor of Mohammed or Buddha. That is why the Christmas season is a Christian public holiday globally, and you are not going to change this fact. So, I ask you, what are you going to do with it? Whether you believe in celebrating it or not, there is no going to work on Christmas Day, for offices are closed, except you are an essential service worker. So what are you going to do with this holiday? Brother Amos, but I do not believe in Christmas. Nevertheless, it is a holiday that you will have, whether you like it or not. So, the issue is, what are you to do with this Christian holiday? In the book of Prophet Isaiah chapter 7, speaking to the nation of Israel, verse 14 records, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and exactly what is this sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, the husband of Mary, in a dream, declaring in verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The purpose for the birth of this son is clearly revealed in verse 21, but we will take it from verse 18, where it records, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, the child of Almighty God. Then Joseph her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So, in these scriptures we have the promise of the birth of the Son of God, through a virgin, a begotten Son through whom God was going to reconcile the world to himself, bringing eternal redemption, salvation, to Adam's entire lost race, for it would be God with us, in the person of his Son. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. The words of prophet Isaiah agrees to this in Isaiah chapter 9, giving us a second witness of prophet Isaiah, who records in verses 6 to 7, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of God in the millennium shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Brothers and sisters, this promised Son of God, the promised Messiah, gives us a serpent bruiser. It takes us right back to Genesis, where God gave a promise in the seed chapter of the Holy Bible, right after the great fall took place in the Garden of Eden. Please come with me to Genesis 3, and let us look at the issue of Christmas from a scriptural perspective this morning. When Adam and Eve fell, in Genesis chapter 3, God declared at the judgment barren the Garden of Eden, saying in verse 15, "And I, God, will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman, Eve, and between thy seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, the seed of the woman, the promised spiritual seed of the woman, the Messiah who is to come. It shall bruise thy head," meaning the promised Messiah will bruise the head of the serpent, "and thou shalt bruise his heel," meaning the serpent will bruise the heel of the promised Messiah, killing him, being our Paschal Lamb, our Savior, the exclusive means of our redemption. This was precisely why later in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, God also gave the promise, declaring to us in verses 10 to 15, "Just as it is written, Moreover the Lord spake again unto us, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth, or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning, God with us, in his promised Son, our Savior, the serpent bruiser, and with his birth, butter and honey, of God's pure revealed truth, the pure and unadulterated word of God, shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil, and choose the good, do and honor the perfect will of God. Hence, in Isaiah chapter 9, a prophetic passage of scripture that we looked at just a few minutes ago, the Spirit of the Lord proclaimed loudly and joyfully, on behalf of Adam's lost race, declaring in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Who is he? The serpent bruiser. He is the Redeemer of the whole world, the Lord our Savior. And just how did the Spirit of the Lord seal this infallible promise in verse 7? He declared with divine authority and finality, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Church, when the time came for this promised Son of God to be conceived, the angel of God appeared one day to a virgin named Mary, and she conceived the Word of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now come with me to the Gospel of St. Luke to pick up the inspired account. The entire message movement are asking for a scripture to celebrate Christmas, but I will give them scriptures this morning by the grace of God. Come with me to Luke chapter 2, and we will take it from verse 1, which provides, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went off from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child, of the Holy Ghost. And so it was, that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now consider the great thing that follows, which is our Bible text for this message. Verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Meaning, I bring you good tidings of great joy, the joy of Christmas, which shall be to all people who are identified in his birth. Hallelujah. Now I ask you in all sincerity, are you included in this great joy? Yes, you certainly are. Are you identified in this great joy? Yes, you most certainly are. Is this great joy your joy? Of course, it is. And are you glad for this gift, this great gift of God? We are, absolutely, immensely. Will you rejoice in this great blessing? Yes, with all our hearts. If you are identified in the number of people the angel referred to as all people, all Adam's elect race, you will most certainly rejoice. I say this because there are elect people that make up the class of people referred to as all people, because some are definitely sad for him and some hate him, but some of us are also extremely glad for him and we love him because he first loved us. We will take verse 10 again. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, the great joy of Christmas, which shall be to all people, all elect people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank God for the birth of the Son of God. God be praised for his birth, that he was born, that he came to save us from our sins, giving us eternal redemption. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for Christmas. What greater gift can we have? What gift can be compared to this in the whole wide world? Absolutely none. What a day that was, the day the Messiah was born. In verse 12, the angel added, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Not one or two angels, not a few angels, and not just a bunch of angels, but a multitude of the heavenly host, a multitude of angels. And exactly what were these angels doing at the birth of Christ? Praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why did they say this in worship and adoration? Because the Redeemer was born, the Savior was born, God's goodwill towards men, peace on earth. Remember, Jesus is our peace. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Brothers and sisters, there is a right way to look at something, and there is a wrong way. This is the day God will remove every remaining wrap on truth, to give us a balanced and in-depth understanding of truth. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Now watch verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They did not say, well, we do not care about his birth. What concerns us about his birth? We thank God for him, but so what? We do not need to regard or celebrate this day. Brethren, let us continue watching over our flock, guiding our livelihood. It is not important or necessary to celebrate the birth of this baby. After all, he is just a baby. Let us worship God, for that is all that matters. Let us just man our post of duty and watch over our flock. I say that because that is precisely what some preachers are doing today. They are behaving as though the birth of Jesus Christ is meaningless, as if the birth of the promised Messiah does not amount to anything, as if the birth of the Savior of all men is not worth celebrating. And who should celebrate his birth, if not the true believers? Come on! Is it the atheists and the people of other religions that are to celebrate his birth? Let me warn you this morning, there is an extreme way of looking at things. And that is precisely what you do not want to do, for you cannot afford to look at things in an extreme way, always going into an extreme, because it shows a total lack of revelational understanding, for there is a balance to truth. Men behave as though the birth of Jesus means nothing, as if the birth of Jesus is not worth celebrating. Let me tell you now, I care for his birth, and I will not only consider it, but I will celebrate it, because it came that a most wretched sinner like me might be made free from the bondage of sin and death. Thank God for Jesus Christ, for if he had not been born, where would I be? Brothers and sisters, I have just shown you a scripture. For angels from heaven rejoiced exceedingly and celebrated his birth. Angels celebrated the birth of my Savior. And yet, these are angels who do not need redemption. These are holy angels who need no salvation. These are angels who do not need Jesus to die for them, and for whom Jesus most certainly did not come. Church, angels, for whom Christ did not die, rejoiced greatly and celebrated his birth, praising and adoring God for this great gift to all the elect people of God. And then this bunch of unbelievers in the movement say that we do not need to celebrate and rejoice in his birth, and they look on us as unbelievers for celebrating Christmas, Christ's birth, for that is what it is. Therefore, I say to all these men, please shut up and get out of our sight. We will celebrate his birth. We will celebrate Christmas, particularly now that the devil has declared total political war on Christmas. Angels celebrated his birth, and yet the plan of redemption does not concern them. Just look at heavenly hosts rejoicing for what men would receive by virtue of his birth, and yet, men who claim to be recipients of it do not consider the need to celebrate his birth. What a shame. What a big shame. Let me show you another picture. You really need a scripture to expressly tell you, celebrate the birth of the Messiah. I wonder what scripture told the angels to celebrate it. Even shepherds who watch their flocks by night also rejoiced and celebrated his birth. I do not know which scripture God gave them to celebrate it. The angels celebrated something that does not pertain to them, and you to whom it pertains, care less for it. Shame on you if you have that horrible attitude. Brothers and sisters, as it is written, at evening time it shall be light. Zechariah 14 verse 7. Every traditional idea, every contrary way of looking at things, and every extreme way of looking at truth, must all go. We must have clear thinking, scriptural thinking, perfect understanding. In Luke chapter 1, speaking concerning Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, verses 13 to 14 states, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now watch, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And if many rejoice at the birth of the forerunner of the Messiah, what about at the birth of the Messiah himself? How much more we are to rejoice at the birth of the promised Messiah? Think about that. You cannot go into extremes, because there is a right way to look at things, and there is a wrong way. I do not know who told the angels of God to rejoice for something that does not concern them, something of which they would not be beneficiaries. And yet, they were so happy on our behalf, so happy that the Messiah was born. And you say that we, who are the beneficiaries, do not need to celebrate his birth. Get thee behind me, Satan. I have to say it like that, because I am making a serious point, particularly as you all know that I am not addressing any particular person. I am addressing the kind of traditional way of looking at truth, which only Satan inspires. For if many rejoice at the birth of John the Baptist, what about at the birth of the Messiah? Come on! Church, let me give you another witness, a second witness of the Word of God, to support our celebration of Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 2, from verse 1, the Holy Bible records, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. The Messiah had not yet grown up to manhood, to be able to do anything for us, being just a toddler, and neither had he been able to express his ministry as yet, nor had he yet given his blood for our redemption. And yet, the three wise men, the Magi, came to celebrate and worship him. Jesus Christ was only a toddler at this point, and as such, who would have known the essence of his coming in that little age, if not by divine revelation? Wise men from the east came to worship him, being just a little boy. They had heard about his birth, because it had been revealed to them, and they took off on a long and dangerous journey, because of marauders, robbers, on the way, bearing precious gifts to celebrate the birth of the Savior. We will skip to continue the inspired account from verse 9. When they had heard the king, Herod's cunning request, they departed, and, lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, the joy of Christmas. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down, and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Amen. Brothers and sisters, here we see that the three wise men, the Magi, also rejoiced and celebrated the birth of the Messiah, coming all the way from the Orient to worship him. What a sacrifice it was to come all the way from the Orient, in an age when there were no cars. I can see them on the back of camels, taking the long and treacherous journey. Many nights they would have slept in the open desert, or they had to sleep in the nearest town or village that they could reach, wherever night met them, and they would have paid for their stay in an inn, like a hotel. Only God knows how much spent on hotel bills, before they eventually got to Israel, coming all the way from the Orient. They were three wise men, representatives of the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the progenitors of the three main races of people on earth today. So, we can perfectly say this morning, scripturally speaking, that a major representative from each of the progenitors of the human race came to celebrate his birth, and yet, today, the movement say we do not need to celebrate his birth, that it is pagan to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. They claim that it is pagan to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, when the angels of God from heaven even celebrated his birth on that blessed day. Lord have mercy. I say again, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Mark 8:33. We must now ask, what wisdom motivated the Magi to not just simply accept the news of his birth and merely thank God for his birth, simply believing in his redemption course and move on, but rather, they actually went through all the trouble, both to see and to worship him, taking all the trouble to celebrate his birth. Come on! May I say this? The revelatory basis on which the three wise men came all the way from the east to worship and celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the promised Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is the very same basis upon which we worship and celebrate his birth, and is the very basis upon which we will celebrate the birth of Christ this coming December the 25th, 2020. The Lord willing, we will bring back the Christmas carols that glorify God, and that speak of the birth of the true Paschal Lamb of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And these carols should be learnt and sung with joy in our hearts, and not just dusted from the books once a year, and butchered or botched up, because we do not know them. The angels, who came down from heaven, rejoiced greatly and celebrated his birth. Shepherds, who watched their flocks by night, rejoiced greatly and celebrated his birth. The three wise men, who came all the way from the Orient, rejoiced greatly, and even went into great and elaborate lengths, to rejoice and celebrate his birth, bearing prophetic gifts. All these classes of God's elects, elect angels, elect shepherds, and elect magi, so much appreciated his birth, and greatly celebrated it, rejoice and adore the Lord, even though the plan of redemption had not yet been set in motion, for in the day, Jesus was the Messiah only in potentiality, having not attained maturity, manhood, and having not been yet incarnated, being only a child. This proves without any iota of doubt that indeed there is a revelation of Christmas, which angels, shepherds, and the Magi all received a divine revelation which made them celebrate the birth of Christ, giving us the first celebrants of Christmas, in their respective order. Brothers and sisters, I give you Luke 2:20, and Matthew to verses 1 to 11, which, in turn, are firmly based on the infallible and immutable promise of God in Genesis 3 verse 15, Isaiah 9 verse 6, and Isaiah 7 verses 14 to 15, amongst many other scriptures. As a Bible base for celebrating his birth, the scriptural basis for celebrating Christmas. Just think again about the celebrations the three wise men made. What a sacrifice. They left their businesses. They packed their bags and baggage, made a long, dangerous and costly journey, and even bought expensive gifts with which to celebrate the birth of a Messiah, a little boy who, at that time, had not yet come into his ministry. And then, they tell us in the Branham movement, where is the scripture that says we should celebrate his birthday? I wonder what scriptures the Magi were following that brought them to Jerusalem, if not a true and infallible divine revelation of God. Wake up! The revelation they received from the angel of the Lord, of the birth of the promised Messiah, the Son of God, was enough for them to come and celebrate. Because the angel must have told them, something very wonderful and most glorious is happening on earth, for in simplicity and in quietness, God is doing something great for Adam's lost race. He has produced the crucial Son, the kinsman Redeemer, whom the whole world needs to rejoice over and celebrate, because the whole of humanity daily needs this most precious and invaluable gift. What is this gift? The Messiah, the Savior of the world, is born. This made the three wise men drop everything, and they took off for the land of Israel, to worship and celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, totally overjoyed that the Savior was born, and they could not wait to see him, and that was all still under the law era. May I remind you that the grace age had not yet started, and yet, they still found it necessary and important, nonetheless, to celebrate his birth, and came and celebrated this wonderful gift of God. And were it not for him, were it not for Jesus Christ, where would we be? In a world that is completely upside down, a world that has fallen completely apart, overrun by demons, a world of total chaos, absolute confusion. One that is filled to overflowing with untempered evil and raw wickedness, where would we be? Please appreciate this marvelous gift and celebrate him. Let me tell you this morning, outside of having Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there is nothing you have in this world that amounts to anything. Outside of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. The only thing you can have in this whole world, if you truly have him, is Jesus Christ. Because you came into the world with nothing. And you will also go with nothing, but the revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is what gives eternal life, and Christ is who gives this mortal life a meaning. So, let us celebrate him. Let us celebrate his birth. Let us celebrate Christmas. Church, to all who are asking me for the scriptures that require us to celebrate Christ's birth, I say again this morning, the basis upon which the heavenly angels celebrated the birth of the Son of God in the presence of men, who were shepherds, even though redemption does not apply to them. The basis on which the three wise men celebrated his birth, coming all the way from the Orient, and the basis on which the shepherds did not discountenance the visitation of angels and the revelation they conveyed, but also went to pay homage, and also celebrated the birth of the newborn baby, who is the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star, the Savior of Adam's entire lost race, is the very basis upon which we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. Now factor that. Song of Solomon 2 verse 1. Revelation 20 to verse 16. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I lay before you my basis, a solid Bible base. You will have to condemn the heavenly angels, and the shepherds, and the three wise men, before you can condemn me, before you can condemn us, because we are all guilty of the same thing. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me also say this, if the love of God moved angels, knowing the mind of God towards Adam's fallen race, if the sovereign and immeasurable love of God for his children, may the angels greatly rejoice in that which makes the Father happy, that same love should also move us to rejoice much more in what God has done on our behalf for our own redemption. In addition, If the love of God in appreciation of divine mercy moved the three wise men to make such a long and dangerous journey, and an expensive one at that, to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, how much more will we today, sinner speaks from the gutters of sin, sinner saved by grace, celebrate his birth? Brothers and sisters, celebrating the birth of the Messiah is not pagan, and neither does the Roman Catholic Church have any monopoly over it, nor can we give them any monopoly over the celebration, for it goes beyond the Church of Rome. Angels, shepherds, and the three wise men celebrated his birth many decades ever before the Church of Rome was formed, as this is strictly a divine issue, being a Bible issue, over which the Church of Rome has no monopoly, even though they are responsible for choosing the date, December the 25th. As it is written in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. This is celebrating Christ's birth, Christmas, for this divine setting gives us nothing but the joy of Christmas, which is the title of our message. Open your eyes. Brother Cole Aquinola, when I was at university, all I knew was to live a very wild lifestyle of partying and womanizing, a useless lifestyle, and yet, I felt I was on top of the world in my misery. Grace, God's sheer grace, saw my utter misery and incredible wretchedness, my complete nakedness and moral bankruptcy, and said, My son, how extremely poor you are, but I will make you rich. The grace of God revealed in this wonderful gift came to me and picked me from the deep depths of the gutters of sin and saved my wretched soul. Consequently, nobody can tell me not to celebrate his birth. I will tell you now, if you want to jump into the lagoon simply because I celebrate Christmas, please do just that, but leave me to celebrate it. I did not ask you to jump into the lagoon, mark you, but if that is what you want to do, if that is your desire, suit yourself, but leave me to celebrate Christ's birth. After all, I do not have to travel all the way to Jerusalem in order to celebrate his birth. I can celebrate him right here and right now, freely, today being Christmas. And if you do not like it, the door is open. Get out of here, and leave us in peace. You say, well, you do not believe the message, and you are not in the message. It is absolutely true. We do not believe in your mess, and we are most certainly not in your message. William Branham, the prophet you profess to believe and follow, celebrated Christmas with his family, just as Raymond Jackson also did. He even put up the Christmas tree in the living room for his children. Yet, the movement say, I do not believe in Christmas, talking like little children who have no understanding of anything. And you should all know that the Christmas tree is an evergreen tree, representing the tree of life. It does not matter what year, what season, it is always green, hence, evergreen, and it just keeps growing, for it is like it will never die. It is just a natural representation of eternal life. Let me leave that as it is, having shown you the truth, as I said that only to make a point. I did not say to make you buy Christmas trees. No. I only said it to make a point, for I do not care what the devil does with Christmas. The fact remains that God made the fir tree, and it is an evergreen tree. After all, the devil is also using the name of Mary today, and he made a goddess out of her. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to throw Mary, the mother of Jesus, to hell, because of what the Roman Catholics are doing with her name, when we all know that Mary is not responsible for that? I do not care what pagan and demonic things people do with Christmas. I do not care for that. It is what you use something for that matters. It is how you celebrate something that matters. and for us as Christians, as Bible believers, all things should be done to the glory of God, for that is what matters. And we do all things to the glory of God, just as it is written, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. Period. Thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank God for His birth. What a bountiful and marvelous gift we have received from God on the blessed and glorious day that He was born. You do not have to celebrate Christmas, but do not hinder us who are celebrating it, because we do not celebrate it as pagans, but as true Bible believers who know the truth. And I do not care for all the perversion in Christendom surrounding Christmas. There is still a truth about it, which is precisely why in Romans chapter 14, a passage of scripture we considered much earlier, Apostle Paul stated in verses 5 to 6, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day of Christmas, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day of Christmas, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks." Then he now declared plainly and categorically in verses 12 to 14, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge these rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." That is the fundamental scriptural point, the bottom line. Why can these people not see this truth? You do not believe in Christmas. That is okay. You think it makes you an unbeliever by observing Christmas. Hold your faith, for that is all right for you, although we can see the weakness of your faith. However, do not judge a person who believes that he can celebrate Christmas because he is strong in faith. In other words, what is St. Paul actually saying? He is saying that there is total liberty. If you believe in a particular day because of a particular reason which you observe unto the Lord, you are at liberty. If you do not believe in that day because of your love for the Lord, you are also at liberty. If you do not believe in that day, you cannot judge a person that believes in it. And if you believe in that day, you cannot also judge someone who does not believe in it. Are you with me? Brothers and sisters, it is a matter of persuasion. It is a matter of faith. Therefore, let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind, for we are at liberty, total liberty. Brothers and sisters, all that I have shared this morning is not meant to force anyone to observe Christmas, and neither is it meant to force Christmas on anyone. Furthermore, all that I have shared this morning does not lay a law for Christmas, for there is no law for Christmas. We are not under the law, but under grace, and under grace, we are at complete liberty. Consequently, this message on Christmas cannot be turned into a doctrine, for it is most definitely not one. However, we do not want you to go into extremes on any issue, for there is a perfect balance to truth, revealed truth. That is precisely why I am here to let you know that we who believe in celebrating Christmas most certainly have Bible reasons for celebrating it, for we are not punching the air, nor are we chasing shadows, and neither are we going to allow people who do not believe to take away our liberty. Because many times, their motivation for objecting to Christmas is really because they lack understanding, and that is a fact. For it is the truth. They simply lack divine understanding. Otherwise, I will ask you again this morning, who should celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, if not the believers? Is it the Hare Krishna people that will celebrate his birth? Or is it the Hindu people that will celebrate his birth? Or is it the Muslims that will celebrate his birth? Or is it even the idol worshippers that will celebrate his birth? Who should celebrate the birth of the Son of God, if not the recipients of God's grace? Who should celebrate it, if not you and me, the true believers for whom Christ came? And are you going to refuse to celebrate it, simply because he was not born in December, when it is a fact that he was born, for it is a reality that he was born. We know the truth that he was not born in December, but it is now an established lawful Christian religious holiday around the world, a day set aside globally to celebrate the birth of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. So, what are you going to do with this holiday? It is a holiday which you cannot change or make go away. So why not utilize it and celebrate it in the right way? Where there is abuse, you show the right way. In the face of global abuse, as revelated seeds of God, you are the ones who seek back and ponder on the grace of God upon your lives. What God did the day when his son was born, a day when heavenly angels rejoiced and celebrated on earth in the presence of shepherds. No, he is no longer a baby lying in a manger, and we all know that. But thank God for the little baby that was born back then, because Jesus was not born an adult. He did not come out of his mother's womb saying, "Mommy, how do you feel this morning? Thank you for giving birth to me." Forget it. I hope you're not one of those people who believe that nonsense, that when Christ was born, he started speaking. No child is born talking, for it is contrary to the law of nature. That would make him a freak of a baby. People would run from him if he did, for people would be scared to death, because of its utter strangeness, being most unnatural. If a mother newly delivers a baby, and the baby starts talking, saying, "Mommy, you did not push hard enough, but thank God I am now out," that mother will faint. If she had passed out whilst delivering him, now she will really pass out. There is no child born that is born speaking. He will learn to speak with time. Jesus Christ learned to speak, he learned to walk, and he learned to talk, because he was not born God, for God cannot be born. The angel did not announce the birth of God to Mary. He announced the birth of the Son of God, even as it is written in Luke chapter 1, verses 30-32. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Then in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angels also declared, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the heavenly host broke out into worship, rejoicing and praising God. A multitude of angels began to celebrate the birth of a little baby. That is why I said he did not come out of his mother's womb an adult. He came out as a little baby. Think about it this morning. So, yes, he has come. Yes, he has paid the price, for he died. And yes, he has long since been resurrected, but thank God for his birth. We not only want to celebrate his death and resurrection, but we also want to thank God that his son came, that he was born in the first instance, without which he could not have paid the price. No wonder I did not ask God for a sign, but God said, "I will give you a sign. I myself will give you a sign." And God did not give him a personal sign. He gave him a universal sign, one for the universal bride. He said, "A virgin shall conceive." Who was she to conceive, and who did she conceive? She conceived the serpent bruiser, the promised Messiah, God's Paschal Lamb, who will save us from our sins. Think about it. And they say we should not celebrate his birth. You cannot restrain or even condemn me from celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Consider what I now say this morning, as I bring my message to a close, and may it cause you to see something, and awaken you. Do you know today, just as I said much earlier, that the Western world who led the world in celebrating Christmas, no longer celebrate it? Open your ears, for I am now at the end of my message. Let me give you a serious thought as I close. Do you know that the Western world, the prophetic world that carried the light of the gospel for a whopping six church ages, and who taught the world to celebrate Christmas, no longer celebrate Christmas? They still have it as a holiday, but the essence of Christmas has been taken away, for Jesus Christ has been moved from Christmas. They put Santa Claus in his place, and then they took even the name of Christ away from Christmas, by making it politically incorrect and offensive to wish people a Merry Christmas, when it is a celebration of Christ, for it is Christ's Day, Christmas. Come on! Everything that has to do with Jesus Christ has been taken away from Christmas. Church, in Europe in particular, Jesus has been stripped from Christmas as we speak. There is a slow, systematic, and consistent extinguishing of the knowledge of Christ from Christmas. They are killing the knowledge of Christ which people have of Christmas. In those yesteryears, in the Western world, in Europe, Christmas was the only time you could speak to anyone about Jesus Christ, and no one would take offense, but rather, they would listen. I have witnessed about the goodness of God and His marvelous gifts many times before, at Christmas time, in London. It is in that period that you could sit on the underground train, and people would greet you, Merry Christmas. They did not care for the color of your skin at that time. You could even talk about Jesus, and they would listen, because they knew that it was the time when the birth of Christ was celebrated, a time when people shared love and peace. That was about the only time you could talk about Jesus Christ to a stranger on the London bus, or on the underground, and they would not take offense. Outside of Christmas, you could not do that. But now, Christmas or no Christmas, you cannot talk about Jesus, because Jesus Christ and Christianity have become so despised and hated by the Japhetic race. Then we must ask, what then are they celebrating at Christmas? They are celebrating something without the knowledge of Christ, and without any acknowledgement of Him. In other words, they are celebrating nothing, for to them, it is just another holiday, like any other secular holiday, and there are many, except that Christmas is bigger. That is why the children in Europe today do not know what Christmas means, or that it is even about Jesus Christ, that it is about His birth, because they have never darkened the door of any church since they were born. Many of them have never even heard about Jesus Christ, because they were born to liberal-minded parents or to atheists, who, in turn, have also never stepped foot in a church in all their lives. Consequently, all that these European children know about Christmas today is that it is a time to receive cards and gifts and enjoy themselves, eating, drinking, and having a nice time, and visiting Santa Claus. There was a time when every school at all levels, whether kindergarten, primary, and secondary, ended that Christmas term with a nativity play, which was all about Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus, so the children knew exactly what Christmas was all about. However, in more recent times, although the plays have not been dropped, more and more characters and absolute nonsense have been added, and it is just a performance for parents to see their children dressed up as cows and chickens, etc. No more carols are learnt, and the story of Jesus has since disappeared. Saints of God, this morning, I am trying to show you the present state of the Western world, which the rest of the world just follows. Let me remind you of the example we gave much earlier on in the message. In America, during the presidency of Barack Obama, it was politically incorrect to say, Merry Christmas, and you were expected to say, Happy Holidays. But whose holiday is it? It was said that to greet with a Merry Christmas offends the atheist. It offends the Muslims. However, the Muslims celebrate Eid al-Fitr, and nobody has told them not to say, Baqi di Salah. As the saying goes, what is good for the goose is good for the gander. But not for this bunch of hypocrites we now have in the West as political leaders. They are the lowest class of leaders the West has ever had and will ever have, because we are at the end and supplanted have truly come to full majority. Muslims can openly wish one another Baqi di Salah, and nobody has said it is offensive, because it is their own religious day, and we all know it and all respect it. So, what about Merry Christmas at Christmas, which is for the Christians? These hypocrites, these godless, Bible-hating political leaders we now have in the West. It is the Holy Bible and Christianity they hate, and that is precisely the religion they do not want, because it convicts them of their godless and iniquitous ways, their utterly abominable and demonic lifestyles. That is why they are removing Christ from Christ Mass. And when you as a believer also say, Zmas, you are also following the devil to strip Jesus Christ from His day. Why is it His day? Because it is that the Christians the world over celebrate the birth of Jesus the Christ, the only day in the entire year that has been set aside to celebrate his birth, and they are stripping Christ from that day with their nonsensical greetings of happy holidays. Atheists have been there for many centuries when Christmas was celebrated, and none of them have felt offended by a holiday that has nothing to do with them. Muslims, Hindus, and Sikhs have also been there for many centuries when Christmas was celebrated, and none of them have felt offended by a holiday that has nothing to do with them. So, what has now changed that the celebration of Christmas and the Yuletide greetings of Merry Christmas has suddenly become very offensive? So now, in order not to offend the atheists, and the Muslims, and the Hindus, and the Sikhs, you name them, we cannot say Merry Christmas. But why should the atheists and the Muslims, etc., be annoyed by a Christian greeting when they do the same on their own religious holidays? After all, it is our holiday, not theirs. So, what concerns the atheists and the Muslims, and all others, with our holiday, when it has absolutely nothing to do with them? It is, after all, a Christian holiday. Are they saying that we cannot celebrate our own religious holiday? The truth is, brothers and sisters, it is not the people of the other faiths that are taking offense at our Christian Christmas greetings of Merry Christmas. It is the spurned seats we now have as political leaders in the West, leaders like Barack Obama, that are responsible, for they are the ones who are offended because of their hatred of true Christianity, which the Holy Bible produces. Christians, you had better wake up before it is too late. Brothers and sisters, seeing that Christ is being removed from his day, the only day in the entire year that has been set aside to appreciate his birth, seeing that the name of Christ, our blessed Messiah, is being systematically squeezed out, for his knowledge is being stricken from the earth, I now have to ask you, what are you going to do with Christmas? They are forbidding Christians from saying Merry Christmas, and are forcing Christians to say Happy Holidays. What next? Wake up. Then I have to ask you, if you do not stand up for Christmas, who will stand up for it, if not the believer? Who will stand up for the name of Christ that is being plainly stripped from Christmas? Then I say, Church, we will stand up for the truth of Christmas. No, he was not born in December, but we are celebrating his birth, nonetheless, because he was born, and his birth means the world to us. If he was not born, we would all still be lost in sin and trespasses, for we were all on our way to hell before grace came. We thank God that he was born. Merry Christmas, everyone. I will not be greeting anyone with the words, Happy Holidays. My foot. Forget that. It is, and will definitely be, Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see what the devil is doing on the earth at this evening time, it is simply because you are spiritually blind. No wonder, by the end of the last week of Daniel, the world would have gone completely atheist, totally anti-God, and the world will all come together to fight the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, the coming King. Christians, please do not sleep. Wake up, and let the light of Christ shine on you. Satan moves in very subtle ways, and we had better open our eyes and see something. Brothers and sisters, I was moved in my heart to take this message today, in order to alert you to the reality of what is going on out there. You have to see the overpowering global effect of communism, socialism, the evil communist socialist spirit, particularly in the West, for it is atheism. In those yesteryears, Christmas was a big thing, and it all spoke about Christ, but today, it is no longer the case, because they have taken Jesus Christ completely out of it. They have taken his name out of it, and they have also taken his knowledge out of it, and today, it is just a holiday, a happy holiday. Oh my! They have not done that to the Muslims, they have not done that to the Hindus, and they have not done that to the Sikhs, but they have done it only to Christians, and Christians are sound asleep, seeing nothing. They are not seeing what is going on. Are you with me? They cannot see that Satan is seriously working to wipe away the knowledge of Jesus Christ from the hearts and minds of the people of his generation, being the last generation. May God help us. Church, in my own little way, and in my little corner, I have to magnify Jesus Christ, and I have to stand for him and say, since we will not take away Christ from Christmas, for it is all about him. It is not about Allah. It is not about Buddha. It is not about Hare Krishna. It is not about the Hindu gods. And it is certainly not about the atheists. So they cannot take offense, and they should not take offense. And if they take offense, let them do so. Because not only is it not about them, but they also have their own holidays, which they celebrate around the globe. And we Christians have not taken offense. They do not need to celebrate Christmas with us. But we are at liberty to celebrate the birth of the Son of God. Heavenly angels who have no need of redemption celebrated it. They celebrated Christmas, the birth of the promised Messiah. Shepherds, who watched their flocks by night, celebrated it. The three wise men, the Magi, also celebrated it. And as such, we will equally celebrate it. And then the people who profess to believe the Bible Rastari message of Elijah are asking me, where is the scripture that says we should celebrate it? So, you need scriptures to tell you why you must celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the serpent bruiser. Which scripture told you to celebrate his resurrection? You will reply me, well, at the Last Supper, Jesus instructed us to celebrate his death till he comes. But he did not say that we are to celebrate his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, Jesus said, for as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, observing the Lord's Supper, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is his death that the communion service exemplifies, because he paid the price for all our sin by his death on the cross at Calvary. The truth, however, is this: if he had not come, if he had not been born, just how could he have paid the price? Come on! So, he came, so that he could pay the price, and break the power of sin, death, and hell. And as such, if we can celebrate his death, we can equally celebrate his resurrection. That is precisely why the Gentile saints worship on Sunday, for it is in honor of his resurrection. Consequently, if we can celebrate his resurrection, why can we not also celebrate his birth, when both his death and resurrection would not have occurred if he had not come, if he had not been born? So, if we can celebrate his death, how much more should we celebrate his birth? Hence, it is written in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for the great gift of life. Church, eternity and eternal life is wrapped up in one little baby boy, Jesus the Christ, who was born about 2,000 years ago, on a particularly day known only to God. Eternity and eternal life is wrapped up in a name after which all the families in heaven and on earth are named. That is the name Jesus, and he is the Christ. So, who should celebrate his birth if it is not us, the believers? How ridiculous people can sometimes be. Only because they do not look at things straight, having the right perspective. Since, I do not know how you see it, and I do not know what it is doing to you, but I can see a slow and systematic removal of Jesus Christ from everything that has to do with him, and Christendom is sound asleep. No, I am not saying that anyone should take up arms, for we do not do such things. For as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and we do not even believe in taking up arms. We do not hold demonstrations, and neither do we join or instigate riots. Brethren, as a watchman on the tower, an apostolic watchman, I am simply saying, wake up, church, and let us celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Europe today, Christmas is fast becoming a thing of the past, although they love this holiday, and they will shop till they drop, eat, drink and party. But Jesus Christ is nowhere in the picture of Christmas, for he is now a memory. I was listening to a BBC program many years ago. It was at Christmas, and they had interviewed about 100 children to find out their feelings, their knowledge, and their understanding of Christmas. Saints of God, about 99% of them did not even know that there is anybody called Jesus Christ, let alone know that Christ is related to Christmas. That is Europe, the 10 horns, for you. In total contrast, The Lord being our helper, we will let our children know the true essence of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ, who brought eternal life to Adam's entire lost race. We will let them know that having eternal life is what Christmas brings, and it is what we must meditate upon and ensure that we possess it. Otherwise, celebrating his birth will be meaningless and profitless. We will also let our children know that December the 25th, which we celebrate, is not the day Jesus was born. For he was born somewhere around late September to mid-October. But seeing that this is a day that the Christian world have set aside to celebrate his birth, one that is now recognized globally as a Christian public holiday, and we cannot change it, we will utilize this date to celebrate his birth in a Christian way, all to the glory of God, because he was born. As I must reiterate, what is the use of celebrating Christmas if Christ is not real to you? And if Christ is real to you, why will you not celebrate his birth? That is the issue. If Christ is real to you, why will you not want to celebrate him, shining forth the light? After all, angels, to whom salvation does not pertain, celebrated his birth, rejoicing greatly, all on our account. So, just how can it be pagan to celebrate his birth, as true recipients of his grace? Come on! How can celebrating Christmas, Christ's birth, be pagan? Just how can celebrating Christmas be really about bringing out your inner pagan, as Kenneth C. Davis told CBS This Morning, that would be taking things to an extreme. Brothers and sisters, the title of our message today is The Joy of Christmas. Do you know what the joy of Christmas is? It is the birth of Jesus the Christ, the giver of eternal life. That is the joy of Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the long-awaited Messiah, the serpent bruiser, bringing eternal redemption. Hallelujah! Thank God for Jesus Christ. Therefore, please ensure on this blessed Christmas day that your soul is robed with the pure and non-adulterated revelation of Jesus Christ, because everything else is nothing but a vexation of the Spirit, and it will profit nothing. Just robe your soul with the revelation of life, for that is all that matters on this Christmas day, as that is why Jesus Christ was born, that we might be reconciled back to God and possess eternal life. Finally, brothers and sisters, as today is Christmas, let us not forget to look back and appreciate God for the greatest gift of all, because God gave us his best. He did not give us his second best when God gave us his Son. He gave us his absolute best when he gave us his only begotten Son, our Savior. No wonder Prophet Isaiah was inspired to give us the promise of the coming birth of the Son of God, and God sealed this promise, declaring, "The zeal of God will perform it." No wonder, when the zeal of God had now performed it, God also found it necessary to send angels down to earth, instructing them, "Go down there, and let them know that something great and wonderful has happened, something very important, something which the eternal destiny of the whole of humanity depends upon." God sent angels down, as none of them came by themselves, for they were sent by God. They came to shepherds at night, who became afraid, and they said, "No, this is not a time to be afraid. It is good news we bring. Good tidings of great joy is what we bring, peace and goodwill to all men, to all the elect people of God." That is the message of Christ, the message of Christmas. Hence, the heavens opened, and there came multitudes of angels, singing, rejoicing, and praising God at the birth of my Savior. And then some were asking me for the scriptures that form the basis for my celebrating his birth. What a pity! Brothers and sisters, what should we do today? It is a day we should never forget, a day that has been set aside to remember the greatest gift of all, the gift of God, the gift of the Son of God, a day when the Virgin Mary gave birth, even as God had promised. Never forget it. I reiterate, if there is any day we should appreciate, it should be this day. For at the end of the day, we have so many Sundays in a year to remember and honor his resurrection. But there is only one day when we remember his birth. It is a day we should all think back to the immeasurable love and mercy of God that brought salvation. Because God has been good to us. For of all men, we are most blessed. Just look at where we are today, in the Bible light of Jesus Christ, feasting on the rich bounties of heaven, basking in immeasurable light. Whilst there is palpable spiritual darkness all over Christendom, creating acute spiritual famine. We will be taking a teaching message next Sunday by the grace of God, titled One Flesh, Genesis 2:24 issue. This scribe has since been preached, rewritten, and placed in the September 2020 issue of the scribe. We are most certainly basking in the full and unhindered light of the Word of God. Is that not God's mercy? And how come we are in this marvelous light of Christ? It is the sheer grace of God. They may not like us, but it does not matter, for they never loved Jesus Christ either. And to those who do not like our stand, I will simply say this. I challenge you to take your Bible and to prove by that same Holy Bible that what we teach is wrong. No, do not make noise in your little corner, in your little cocoon, because any man can make noise in his room, to his own little congregation. Put your thoughts on paper, write it, and send us a copy, because a man that is truly confident, knowing exactly where he stands on the Word of God, can stand boldly before the world with his chest out. Is that not so? Do you know what Jesus said? He said, "What I tell you in the closet, go to the rooftops and blare it out." Because the truth of God is meant to be published, not buried, but published, that it may give light and life. That is why I say to these men, do not sit in your little corners, in your little cocoons, in your little assemblies, and making noise, yak, yak, yak. But rather, put it down on paper, pick up your pen and write it, and send it to us. Even if it is a tract, write it, and send it to us, instead of making little meaningless noises in your closets, because we do not preach in the closet, but preach only in the open, so that the children of light can see the light, and have their hearts set on fire for the God of truth by the light. Write and send it to us, and we will produce a scribe on it for you, for we will not be running from any man in any part of this globe on issues of truth, issues of the Holy Bible, by the grace of God, except that what you have written is just a sheer waste of time, being nothing but utter spiritual junk. That is why we are not ashamed to let people know that we celebrate Christmas. Saints of God, we will enthrone Christ in a world where they are blatantly rejecting and dethroning Him, a world where they are stripping Him from the only day that has been set aside to remember and celebrate His birth, and on a day when they are seriously trying to banish His memory. They are slowly and systematically banishing the memory, the knowledge, and the name of Jesus Christ. We say no to that, and we will not take it. So, if we were not talking about Christmas before, it is now we will be talking about it, because we can clearly see precisely what the devil is doing out there. How many see the point? Do not think that I should have taken the teaching message that I had originally planned for today, and then talk about Christmas next Sunday, when Christmas would have been all over. That is why I moved my teaching of today to next Sunday. Because today is Christmas, and today being Christmas, we want to talk about Christmas, the day we receive the greatest gift of all. Out there, they may not know what they are celebrating, and how to celebrate it, but we know exactly what we are celebrating, and we also know just how to celebrate it. The joy of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Son of God that was born about 2,000 years ago. Having Him is having eternal life. Thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, without whose birth we would all have been totally hopeless and lost eternally. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. The Lord bless you, and Merry Christmas.